Good afternoon, everyone. I just spoke with the president, and he wanted to thank the commissioner of Big Ten football, Kevin Warren, and all of the players, parents, coaches, and fans who wanted more than anything to play football. The president was happy to get this thing going, and now you will have players in Maryland, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Ohio, Iowa, Indiana, Illinois, Minnesota, Mississippi, and Nebraska, who will now have access to football, which is very good to see.
All right, we'll let you get Trump some votes.
In Mississippi.
Maybe they added a team. This college football has gotten so rinky-dink, I wouldn't be surprised. Did Mississippi State join the Big Ten last night?
But I'm sorry about that.
But Michigan? No Michigan in?
Oh, she didn't mention Michigan?
No, I'm sure what happened is she had a abbreviation of the states and saw MI and thought it was Mississippi.
I see. Yeah,
it's not like she has an important job.
Well, I'm not sure why exactly he would be taking credit for this, because I would imagine if the balance were to tip and they said, okay, we absolutely can't decide whether to play football or not, and someone said, oh, but Trump wants you to, then it would fall the other way. I mean, if that was a deciding factor?
Well, no. I mean, he got people to mobilize and pretty much bully the Big Ten into restarting again.
They're not. Wait, you don't really think the Big Ten's playing because Trump got shitty about it, do you?
No, not really, but I do. I think it's simply because
money.
Students are on campus and other people are playing.
Well, high school football is playing. How can they not play when high school football is playing?
Except for Utica.
Okay. And a couple colleges aren't playing. And I know this is a really weird, weird day. And I'm sure it will go down in Big Ten history for sure as not a great day. Although it is a good day because, personally, I'm just pumped to see some football. I really miss watching Michigan and Michigan State on Saturdays, and I like watching the other teams in the Big Ten. I mean, the Big Ten, that's my conference. I grew up with it, and I just, Saturday is not the same.
Well, now you have extra Saturdays in December.
Which is kind of cool. I mean, I always hate that football, you know, just Thanksgiving is like, wah-wah, until January.
Can't wait for that Rutgers-Illinois matchup December 17th.
Oh, there's a schedule?
Well, no, you didn't hear what they're doing with the schedule?
I thought they were releasing it Wednesday or Thursday.
Well, the exact schedule, but it's an 8-game season, so you play everybody in your division. And then just like when I was in high school, however you end up in your division, you cross over and play with.
So the really great football school, great school.
So number one will play number one in the East, plays number one in the West, and number seven in the East plays number seven in the West to get to game number eight.
Oh, boy.
Which, frankly, can't they just play a 7-game season and then just let the champions play? Because who cares after
just
that?
Just every little detail sounds so rinky-dink.
I can't wait to see Michigan go 3-5.
Oh, come on. Hey, there's some
tell me who they're going to beat.
I don't know, but they're not going to go 3-5.
You want to put money on it?
Are you serious?
Okay, 4-4.
Are you serious?
I'll give you 4-4.
Okay, well, that's better. Okay, they have a first-round draft pick in the offensive line who is going pro. This is not a sports podcast, by the way. They have a cornerback who is going pro, who's very good, and Nico Collins isn't playing. So they could use Tariq Black.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. 5 catches, they 80 yards.
They could use
Donovan
drop-again Peoples-Jones, too.
But that's right.
Sitting on the bench in the NFL.
So he might have. Oh, is he just sitting on the bench?
I don't think he got in on Sunday.
Did he make the team?
Yeah, no, he was on a team.
Yeah, he was a fourth-round pick or something, I think. Anyway, this is really an interesting day because what is amusing to me is watching the Big Ten pretend that there's really a reason that everything happened in the order that it happened, that they canceled football because they should cancel football, and that they decided to uncancel football because all these things happened since August the 11th and have made it plausible to now play football. So I'm watching Dan Miller on Fox 2, who says, now we can get the daily tests, and so they're comfortable from a medical standpoint. I saw Bernie Smilowitz, same question. So what do you think turned the tide, Bernie? Money, pressure, everybody wants to play.
I would say all of it. I mean, the test gives them the excuse to go for it.
Oh, that's just... Exactly.
You don't think that helps at all, though?
I don't think it makes a damn bit of difference. I think the fact that they're starting to play now in what Christine Brennan describes as the teeth of coronavirus, the colder weather is a worse time to play, and there's outbreaks on campuses, so it makes less sense to play,
oh, sure,
if you ask me.
Yeah.
But I'm excited that they're playing. I don't even care. I just kind of was amused watching them kind of fumble over themselves, declaring,
sure,
you know, that it makes so much sense, that it all makes sense. Because I think in the end, it'll be a big... It's just an embarrassing... It's an embarrassing day for the Big Ten. And the when I saw Kevin Warren, the commissioner, saying that... I got to find the quote. Oh, boy, there's a lot to talk about here. If we really wanted to, we could go on and on and on and on.
Yeah, you mentioned Christine Brennan. You saw how beat up she got online today, didn't you? Yeah.
I didn't see her getting beat up. I read her story, but I want to hear about her getting beat up because she just annoys me.
Well, she just had a very hyperbolic, story about this is the worst thing the Big Ten's, the darkest day, I think is what she said.
This is a pretty big fuck up for the Big Ten. There's no question about it, but I don't think she needs to get so heavy about it. Anyway, Kevin Warren said that we must realize this is a fluid situation. We always make sure we put the health and safety of our student athletes at the forefront of our decisions.
As if. As if. What a fucking lie.
Once we reach
the end of the day.
Once we reach the point we were comfortable to move forward, we were able to move forward. So I see. So the healthiest, safest thing to do is to put these players on the field in the months of November and December with flu season coming and coronavirus outbreaks.
I think most importantly, what are they going to do about CTE?
Yeah, that seems to not be really in line with the health and safety.
Why don't they pay their health care for years after they leave school?
Well, I agree with the players when they asked for that. There's no doubt
they deserve that. They should be paid, period.
They should be paid. This is just a total, total clusterfuck. And for Christine Brennan, by the way, to bitch, isn't Christine Brennan a big advocate for women's sports and women's basketball?
Oh, that's right. There's
going to
be
hockey.
I forgot to mention, and everybody forgets to mention, there's going to be a ruling on the other fall sports soon, too. I'm not joking. It's part of it.
How could they play football and not play the other sports?
Because the other sports don't make money.
But then it would be about the money.
It is about the money.
Of course it's about the money.
Well, look at it this way. From the health aspect, it's about the money because they probably don't have the money to do the rapid tests and the...
oh, please.
Everything they claim they're going to do.
The rapid tests. By the way, it is amusing, and I really was annoyed by Christine Brennan's column, as I always am. She's never writing about anything that I really want to hear her talk about.
Yeah.
I can't quite explain what I'm saying, but like she'll write about the LPGA because remember Trump attended an LPGA event and it ruined it for her.
And she, of course, demanded Brent Musburger step down because of...
Okay, second down and nine.
I know. And you know what? He's friends with her. He was a mentor to her. But she just couldn't let it go. Yeah, she... I got to tell you, I can't imagine being around her for a lot of time. Wouldn't that be...
You want to call her? We can call her.
Not really. I don't think I do. She kind of freaks me out.
You don't want to get yelled at?
No. And I think if I'm honest to myself, I will have to say some things to her that she won't like hearing.
Yeah.
And then she will tell me why I'm wrong. And she'll probably tell me, she'll probably spend a lot more time telling me I'm wrong than I could even imagine telling her that she's wrong.
But in her opinion piece where she calls, this the darkest day in Big Ten history, just a lot of people wanted to remind her that Jerry Sandusky is still a thing. Larry Nassar, Robert Anderson, Richard Strauss, DJ Durkin, there's just a lot of issues. So when she says this is the craziest and worst, darkest day in Big Ten history, others disagree.
Ted Kaczynski.
Ted Kaczynski.
He went to the Big Ten.
That's true. You know what? Maybe I'll just read her story, her article, because I'm sure a lot of people want to hate on her.
She misses the aspect of kids are on campus, period. If they really cared about the safety, then nobody would be on campus.
I really don't think there's any way to precisely say how she's wrong or what she's wrong about. She is just so fucking judgmental. It's just the heaviest thing.
Wait, though. Everybody's judgmental, though.
But she's a little heavier than... Come on. Christine Brennan, you don't think she's a little more judgmental than most?
Oh, I just think she's a little... I'm trying to... What's the right word? A little... maybe too woke?
Well, she's that, too.
Yeah, I don't know what the word is, but yeah, I just think everyone's judgmental.
Just read it. Instead of talking about blabbering on and on about it, let's just read the story. But first, the Facebook Live is brought to you by Emergency Response Services Incorporated. 877-JOB-DONE is the number you should have on your fridge at all times, or visit 877-JOB-DONE.com. If you have concerns about COVID in your home or your workplace or your delivery vehicles or service vehicles or what have you, they do... do all that work to disinfect whatever you might feel you need because of COVID. 877-JOB-DONE for Emergency Response Services Incorporated. And then, of course, storm damage, wind damage, any kind of damage that would involve water or a number of other things. It's well worth the call to 877-JOB-DONE or visit 877-JOB-DONE.com. Mold. If it's, again, if it's emergency, probably are well off calling Emergency Response Services Incorporated. Water, of course, is a big one. Floods or just those little things where water is just chewing away at your home. 877-JOB-DONE or visit 877-JOB-DONE.com for Emergency Response Services Incorporated. And Royal Oak wants you to spend those Royal Oak bucks. There's, let's see, probably three or four weekends left to do it. And, of course, any nice day, it's always great to go to downtown Royal Oak and maybe you pick up an ice cream cone or some tea or some coffee or maybe it's lunch at Ale Mary's. Or lunch at Mesa, or Mr. B's. I think Mr. B's is rocking again. Get to downtown Royal Oak and spend those Royal Oak bucks. So many of you still have them, courtesy of the Downtown Development Authority. This has been a great program. Everybody's had a lot of fun with this, and the businesses have done so well. Hashtag buy local RO. And remember, when it comes to Thursday, it is 5 p.m. to 2 a.m. for Lyft. If you use the code GO2RO, go to Royal Oak. You get $10 off your Lyft ride into town and $10 off your ride home as well. And then Saturday and Sunday, it's 10 a.m. to 2 a.m. for your Lyft discount. Go to RO. So, Christine, let's see. I know you sent it to me, so I've got it. Here. I mean, this is really heavy. For decades, the Big Ten has thought of itself as a different kind of sports conference, one that proudly touts the academic achievements and Great Lakes value of its like-minded, highly regarded, internationally ranked research institutions. The Big Ten wasn't the SEC. It wasn't the Big 12. It was better than that, and it was happy to tell you all about it. I would have to agree with her there. I don't know why the Big Ten thinks it's so special and so different from the SEC and Big 12, because I really have had trouble seeing the difference. In many ways. As proof, one only had to look at the conference's prudent August decision to shut down fall sports in the midst of a global pandemic. It was only natural that the Big Ten would follow the Ivy League. Oh, yeah, the Big Ten. Big Ten sports, Ivy League, they're about the same level, right?
Well, is she talking about sports or the academics?
No, she's talking about the following their decision on fall sports. Oh. I would say the Ivy League and the Big Ten probably have about the same interests for fall sports. No! No! The Big Ten makes so much more money than the Ivy League. It's a huge part of their identity is Big Ten football. The Ivy League is embarrassed to have sports
teams. I think
teams.
Your problem with her problem with the article is she's trying to combine the athletics with the academics as if the student-athlete is a thing that exists.
No, it doesn't exist.
Or that the athletic department and schools aren't run independently of each other. However, this is what bit the Big Ten in the ass because they had to keep school going because that's where the real money is. So they couldn't really justify keeping the athletes not playing.
Well, it was a dumb thing. They decided too soon. But she puts it on this level like, oh, my God, I thought the Big Ten was just like the Ivy League, and it turns out they're like the awful SEC. The Big Ten would follow the Ivy League, and the Pac-12 would follow the Big Ten. It was a tough decision, heartbreaking and costly, but it was the right one. Oh, it was the right one? Is that so?
Never mind.
Looks like the NFL's playing football. Looks like high school's playing football. Looks like a lot of people are trying to move forward in a difficult situation. But Christine Brennan, I guess, wants everyone to put on their soft, comfy, you know, long johns and curl up in a little ball at home. That's the Big Ten for you, concerned about science, medicine, and safety. Let the football factories of the SEC, Big 12, and... Really? She really thinks that the ACC and the Big 12 are bigger football factories than the Big 10? Let the football factories continue playing. The Big 10 was doing the right thing, looking out for its student athletes. Yeah, like the way they pay them?
Not looking out for student athletes.
Treating them almost no differently than the student body at large, and that's all that mattered. Then came Wednesday, the darkest day in Big Ten sports history.
See, that's what I mean. This is where she's wrong. She is treating them like the other students. They are treating them like the other students now because they're all back on campus just doing their thing.
The day the vaunted conference caved, it choked, it got scared, it became the SEC! Oh, God! Overnight? Really? Overnight, it became the SEC. Just as the Big Ten was looking smarter by the day... How many people walk around going, God, the Big Ten, they really got it right. As they're watching football on Saturday, no, watching Clemson play,
no one,
watching
Notre Dame play. The fact of the matter is people just want to watch their sport, and they don't care about COVID.
No, they don't. And COVID should not stop 20-year-old.
Nobody cares about COVID anymore.
20-year-old superior athletes should be able to survive COVID, and they've done the best they can, and they're trying to play. So who can knock that?
That's why people understood it when they canceled the Big Ten tournament, and then the NCAA tournament gets canceled. Nobody had a problem with it. 6 months later, they're just tired of it and over it.
If it was, if the Big Ten was a 55 and over league, then yeah, they should cancel it because it would be very detrimental. It would be possibly extremely harmful. It'd probably kill some players. But anyway. Christine was so blown away by the Big Ten, looking smarter by the day as COVID-19 outbreaks popped up at Michigan. Oh, she was rooting for the virus, I guess. Popped up at Michigan State, Wisconsin, and Maryland, while other conferences playing football announced COVID-related postponements and soaring cases. The league's presidents reversed themselves and decided to steer their schools and their football programs right into the teeth of what are predicted to be the worst days of the pandemic in October and November. Oh, my God, how will I survive? And how are they doing it? With a mountain of daily antigen tests, special delivery for Big Ten football teams only. Rapid test. Yeah, they're going to play football. Yeah. They're going to tackle each other, so they need to be tested a lot.
Yep. And they have the money to buy all those tests.
Yeah, they have more than enough money because they don't pay the players. Rapid tests for football players, but apparently not for the elderly in Ann Arbor or Columbus or Evanston or for school children or for teachers in Bloomington or New Brunswick or Minneapolis or for students paying for education after the outbreak in East Lansing or Madison or College Park.
It's called capital.
We have a massive shortage of tests. I've gotten tested twice in the last couple of weeks, and I just quickly went up there and got it done in a couple minutes.
What a test hog you are.
Well, elderly people in Ann Arbor need to be tested daily? I don't think they do. They're probably staying home. They're probably not doing a lot.
So how will this work? Smooth the silk, I'm sure. Look at Michigan State. The other day, all MSU students were asked to self-quarantine in 30 large houses, including 23 fraternities and sororities. Oh, that's disgusting. Were ordered into mandatory quarantine after the school announced 342 new coronavirus cases. This is an urgent situation, Ingham County Health Officer Linda S. Vail said. The exponential growth of COVID-19 cases must stop. So, hey, Michigan State, let's start football. What could go wrong? Here was LSU coach Ed Ogeron, COVID strategy Tuesday.
None of our players, but most of our players have caught it. I think that hopefully they won't catch it again, and hopefully they're not out for games.
This is the Nebraskization.
With your elbow like this.
Of the Big Ten. Who would have thought that when Nebraska and Ohio State and a few of the league's other squeaky wheels started whining about missing out on football, that Big Ten presidents would buckle rather than stand up to them?
Everyone?
Yeah.
If you're sick, stay home.
Except for her.
Here we go. Heads up.
Or we could call it the trumpeting of the Big Ten. It was just 2 weeks ago that Trump, desperate to win votes in Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio, and Pennsylvania, told the conference to play football. Originally, the league stood its ground. Rutgers president Jonathan Holloway aptly called it cheap politics. But wouldn't you know, the university presidents end up following right along, giving Trump exactly what he wanted.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
Well, were they sure really they giving to this to Trump date? So they really gathered and said, you know, the president really wants to play football.
No.
So, and we all love Trump.
Really
Trump
stupid.
Is more popular on college campuses than almost anywhere else, so we have to go along.
I never would have expected the Big Ten presidents to be so shaky, so fearful, so afraid of their own shadow. I grew up in Big Ten country in the suburbs of Toledo, Ohio, in a family that spent fall Saturdays at Michigan games. I went to Northwestern University, where I received undergraduate and master's degrees. I'm still very involved. It's not clear. I'm still very involved at NU to this day.
That's all you care about.
In addition to being a professor of practice at the Medill School of Journalism. Oh, my God, I would hate to be in a class. I can't imagine.
Oh, God, the lectures.
I'm a member of Northwestern's 64-person Board of Trustees. I had no role.
How many? That's quite a large board.
That is. It's really not very exclusive. She just said she was on the board. It would have sounded
64?
More impressive.
64?
Yeah, yeah. They all get a say on
an
issue?
Most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of.
No, they got no say because she said,
I had no role in any votes or decisions NU made about playing sports in the pandemic.
And obviously, you should have had no role because you think it's so simple. Just cancel everything, Christine. Just can't. How do you get a newspaper out, for crying out loud, without endangering people?
Well, much of the blame for the awful about-face goes to the university presidents who chose money and football over sanity and caution. New Big Ten commissioner Kevin Warren also contributed greatly to this public relations nightmare. This is a man who clearly is in way over his head. The poor guy was outmaneuvered by a few loudmouth football coaches, for heaven's sakes.
For heaven's sakes.
The poor guy, no matter how he explains it, it's clear that he and the league flip-flopped so Ohio State can try to win a national title and the league can still make lots of money off the backs of 18 to 22-year-olds in the middle of a pandemic.
Yep. She's right about that.
As we move into October and November, into what the experts say will be our worst days as COVID combines with the flu, the stops and starts of the conferences that are trying to play now tell us there are likely to be postponements and perhaps cancellation of Big Ten games. Maybe some teams will get through a full season. Perhaps others will have to stop after a game or two or miss some games in the middle. Hopefully no one will get sick or spread COVID to others, because that's all that matters. If people get COVID and if they spread it to someone else and if someone else gets sick, because no one can ever get sick in my world. Everyone should be safe.
Okay,
safe,
second
safe.
Down and nine.
We'll see. This is the potential chaos the Big Ten chose when it decided to sell its soul for a few football games.
Years ago.
Sell its soul.
Oh, my God, how heavy.
So as there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos. It will be a home run.
Okay, let's come back to this beast in a second. The crapshoot's getting online, Brandon. Can you highlight some stuff there that we can come back to?
You already mentioned it, pretty much.
It's basically just the fact that Jerry Sandusky, Larry Nassar, Robert Anderson, all those things occurred. So everybody is
so a man
off
putting
saying,
his penis into a small child is the first thing that comes to mind, I guess, when you think about these things.
Yeah.
That shows what a demented mind you have.
They just immediately felt like, no, it's not the darkest day in Big Ten history because there's been a lot of bad shit that's happened specifically recently. So.
Well, I was, right away, I'm like, oh, my God, football. And then I'm going, wait, October 20th, why is it taking so long?
Yeah, I didn't understand that either.
It's the 16th. They've been
practicing.
What do you need 5 weeks for? What the fuck?
And now these poor students don't get a bye week to recover.
We're talking about practice.
Do you think Ohio State gets more games in than Virginia Tech?
No. No, I don't. No. We've only missed two games.
How many are on the schedule, though?
Virginia Tech? I think, I don't even know. What are most teams playing?
I thought they're all just playing inter-conference games.
Oh, I thought we had like 11 games or something. I really have not been paying as much attention to this as I should.
Well, they haven't played because they haven't played a game yet.
Schedule.
I'm not even paying attention.
I was just delighted that they were playing, and then they haven't played. So, okay, Virginia Tech, NC State, then they play Duke, then they play UNC. That's three.
They have 10 games left.
Boston College, Wake Forest, Louisville, Liberty, Miami, Pittsburgh, and then Clemson in the finale. Wait, where's the Virginia game?
That's crazy. Apparently the Commonwealth Cup will stay wherever it was last year.
Get the fuck out of here. They canceled it? They shit-canned that game? They can't do that.
Don't they know how much money that brings in?
Well, it's the biggest. I mean, it's
the in-state rivalry.
Oh, I know. It's a huge game.
When the Commonwealth Cup is at stake, people are looking. Sometimes.
Are they going to play? Are they going to play NC State next week? Are they going to be able to get that
one? Yeah, they're going
to
play that.
Okay,
that
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. Is something crazy going on?
Yes, they will play. They're going to get their games in somehow, some way. Just like the NFL will. Just like, look at the NBA. Look at MLB. Baseball, is baseball behind in scheduling? Are they getting all their games
in? St. Louis is catching up. They're still behind.
Yeah, there's a couple teams like Oakland and the Mets that need to catch up. But they'll get there.
But we're going to have our champ, our division winners, and we're going to have our wild cards, and we're going to have our playoffs, and it's going to be okay. It's
I mean, NBA ragged, and NHL are just about wrapped up, really. There's only a couple more weeks left.
Yeah, I am totally 100% clueless on the NHL. Don't try to bring me up to speed because it would take too long, and I'm not really paying attention anyway.
It's really funny. You just said the teams, and it went in one ear and out the other. Did you say, is Dallas still in it?
Dallas is headed to the Stanley Cup Finals, right?
Okay. I don't know. Is I know last
this is why
Tampa,
I said it. Don't bring me up to speed. I don't want to be up to speed, and it doesn't mean anything. It's like I feel like Trudy right now.
Well, that means something.
I think it's the Dallas Stars are representing the West in the Stanley Cup Finals, and then the East still needs to be figured out between the Tampa Bay Lightning and the
Wait,
New
didn't
York
Didn't I just
Islanders.
Say that this really not?
No, I know. Three teams nobody gives a shit about is the point.
I mean, honestly, I have nothing to say about it. As far as the NBA, and it's not because I don't like hockey. I'm just lost. The Wings are nowhere, and it doesn't matter. NBA, the Nuggets beat the Clippers, so they're going to play the Lakers. So
I think September, I think Stanley Cup playoffs. That's what's weird. That's what's weird.
NBA
about.
Too. And I actually started watching a game last night for the first time since the playoffs started.
How about that Denver NBA team? I refuse to say their last name because it can be racist. Oh, how about that Denver NBA team?
They look pretty damn good.
They've won, what, four elimination games in a row?
I hope they... Yeah, they were down 3-1.
Yeah,
that's right.
I know.
How about that? How about
they've
that?
Been down by double digits in every game. That's a
So they've been down 3-1 twice in postseason?
Yes.
God, that's amazing.
There's only two other pro sports franchises to ever do that. Go!
Twice in the postseason?
1985 was 1 year.
Kansas City Royals?
Yep. And I think the other year was early 2000s in the NHL, Minnesota or Dallas Stars did it.
This is not a sports podcast.
No, I know, but I think that's it. It just shows what an amazing feat the Denver NBA team
is. Who cares?
Yeah, let's stick to Big Ten action for right now.
Denver sucks ass.
Just as all this stuff is happening, and all I'm thinking of is being on the couch and enjoying some games. And, you know, we might even go out there and have can we have a tailgate party when there's a home game? Or will we get in trouble?
It's your private property.
Yeah, you own the house.
How many people are allowed in an outdoor gathering?
We can't do it
25?
Then. Because Matt will invite 200 people, and people will be wasted, spitting all over each other, and then I don't want to go anyway.
What a perfect opportunity, though, to kick people out.
That's true, but that'll never happen. Anyway, to more practical matters, so I'm kind of just starting to grasp, you know, this offensive lineman isn't going to play because he's going to be an early draft pick for Michigan, and the cornerback's not going to play, and Nico Collins. I didn't know Nico Collins signed with an agent. Did that just get announced?
Yeah, he signed with Rosenhaus, I think, Drew Rosenhaus.
Like a day ago, or?
I don't know how long ago, no.
I didn't know anything about that. Then Mark tells me that...
I don't blame him. I'm surprised anybody's playing if you can go pro.
Ohio State's got some big stars, two of them, I think, that aren't playing. Penn State's linebacker is supposed to be a top 10 pick. He's not playing.
Smart.
I'm sure there'll be many more.
Very smart.
But Mark says Dylan McCaffrey is
Yeah, it's been rumored for a while, and it seems like it's official now.
Dylan McCaffrey?
Yeah.
The starting quarterback, as far as I knew.
Or the third string quarterback, however you want to look at it.
So now that he's leaving, they're saying, he was going to be third string anyway.
Well, that's why he's leaving, though.
Okay, Dylan McCaffrey was the number one quarterback in his class. He came in, and he redshirted his freshman year, correct?
Yeah, I don't remember, sure, yeah. I don't remember. I know he's got 2 years left.
Is this really that hard a question?
I don't remember. Dylan, sure, yes. I don't know.
Son of a bitch.
I mean, he had to have redshirted because he wasn't playing, and he was the number one quarterback in his class. But then they got Shea Patterson to come, that's when he should have left. In fact, I said that right then. I was like, if I were him, I'd be out of here. I'm the number one guy in my class. I've sat out my whole first year, and they bring in a guy.
Or you could suck it up and try to win the job like Tom Brady did.
Well, as it turned out, no, he wasn't going to win that job. There was no way. I mean, Shea had all that experience, and Shea was going to win the Heisman. Shea was going to be a high NFL draft pick and all that stuff. Didn't happen, but nonetheless, 2 more years went by. 3 years went by, and he barely played. So Joe Milton beat him out.
Mm-hmm.
Holy crap.
2 years.
I didn't know that could happen.
You seem far more surprised by it.
Yeah, I'm not really inside on this stuff.
No, I know. That's why I'm not. I wasn't terribly surprised.
I mean, Joe Milton obviously has a lot of talent, and I was reading, who's the quarterback? Who was the quarterback camps that worked with Joe Milton from Michigan? The black guy, big, tall black guy.
Yeah,
who ran so
I know
well.
What you're talking about. I don't know his name, though.
You know the name of the Michigan quarterback?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about that quarterback guru. You're talking about 98, Devin Gardner.
Yeah, Devin Gardner. Devin Gardner had a quarterback camp, and he had Joe Milton, and he was just going on and on about what an incredible athlete he is. 6'5", 250 pounds. You can't bring this guy down. If he decides to run, he's going to run over people. Now, I was really excited because I thought, oh, wow, dual threat quarterback. But is he not really known for running?
He's known more pro style. He's got a cannon of an arm. I mean, the knock's always been that he didn't know the offense.
I mean, he can run, right?
Sure, he can run. I think McCaffrey was faster. I mean, if that's what you want.
What? McCaffrey's faster than Joe Milton?
Oh, I would assume so, yeah.
Oh, wow. This is my racist side coming out. I just assumed, reading about a 6'5", 250-pound black quarterback, that he was probably super fast, too.
I mean, he's a pro-style quarterback.
That doesn't mean he can't run.
I'm sure he can run. But he's not Denard Robinson.
No. But, you know, if you're a pro-style quarterback who can also run, that's just another asset. Anyway, he can throw the ball like crazy. And I thought, all of a sudden, I had visions of Michigan putting the ball up 45, 50 times a game because maybe it's not their best team, so they're playing behind a little bit, and they become that wild offense I've always wanted them to be.
Well, how much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountains?
He could throw it over those mountains.
But he has no receivers to throw to.
Yeah, that's Nico Collins and... who else did they lose? They lost Tarik Black to Texas.
Drop again, People Jones.
Now, if Tarik Black goes to Texas and catches 75 passes, that's kind of going to piss me off.
Why?
Because why couldn't he ever catch 7 passes here?
I don't know. Sometimes people are in bad situations. Why did Eric Ebron suck so
Nobody
bad?
Nobody cares.
And then go to Indiana and have an anomaly of an year and then start sucking again.
Well, he had one of those years where everything just came together.
No, but my point is sometimes the situation isn't the way a person wants it to be. So, good, you know, move on. That's fine.
Yeah.
Who cares?
I don't know what kind of offense they run in Texas, but they sounded very excited about him.
He wears number 0 now, which is kind of, that's the only thing I don't like about it.
That's funny.
He did have a big fumble, but they recovered.
Well,
he had a touchdown.
He had a touchdown, 5 catches, 80 yards.
Nobody cares.
I think Michigan should play all freshmen and sophomores this year.
Yeah, I think they should too.
Because it's a lost year, so why not?
Is it for sure a rebuilding year?
Who cares?
Well, I think it's a rebuilding year for all of college football.
No, I mean, for Michigan, wasn't this kind of a rebuilding year?
It depends what what the goal is.
Well, the goal is to create the team that's going to win the Big Ten and go to the college football playoffs. Remember when Harbaugh got here and everybody said that?
Yeah, but aren't the playoffs just going to be Alabama, Clemson, Georgia/LSU?
Who gives a fuck?
Ohio State or Oklahoma every year, like it has been for the past 7 years?
Well, so is Michigan officially given up?
No, I'm just saying.
Is their official stand? Is that
they should
are no
for this
longer
year.
Stop thinking that we're going to be in the playoffs, okay? And judge us for our 3-loss, 4-loss seasons.
Pretty much.
Okay. Nobody cares.
Well, I just thought they were a team that could maybe be a 4 or 5-loss team. And
oh, I think they are a 4. I think typically they'll probably be a 9 or 8-win team. 8-4 or 9-3.
Well, if you're happy with it, I'm fine with it. I
don't care what they finish.
I thought they would. I thought they were still shooting for the moon.
Oh, well, I think every team is shooting for the moon.
Play
to win the game.
Let's do it.
Where's the cult? What in the world happened to the cult?
Oh, I still love.
I feel like I'm working with an imposter.
You play to win the game.
Exactly.
I still love my school. The team is what it is.
You sound like me.
You're in the cult, bro.
All right. There were some really strange goings on around here, and a couple things I wanted to tie into these hostage situations in Detroit that a few things I sort of tied together very strangely. But first, our friends at Zach Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram and DealsInAD.com are at it again. They've got the 2020 Ram Quad Cab Bighorn 4x4s as low as $180 a month. They got the new 2020 loaded Jeep Compass lease at $155 a month. Oh, we have a couple IRS numbers, don't we? Or
yeah,
Social Security
yeah,
numbers?
Yeah, actually worked.
Oh, I'm kind of excited about that. We haven't been able to do many phony phone calls, which sucks. I mean, tax season was screwed up. It was delayed. I just paid quarterly taxes yesterday. Oh, my God, what a shocker that was. Wait, today's quarterly taxes? What?
I forgot.
If you didn't scream like that last night, I would have totally forgotten.
I know. Well, like, anyway,
driving,
done.
Driving, left here at, what, 11 o'clock at night and drove to the post office to mail them.
Oh, boy. So, yeah, let's maybe dial up a couple Social Security numbers in a minute here. But first, I must mention the Wrangler. Zach Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram is the largest Wrangler inventory in the state. Isn't that big at the moment, but the good news is there's no better time to get to Zot and order your badass Wrangler exactly the way you want it. See all this and more at DealsInAD.com. And don't forget our friends at Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. And we'll be opening the Hall Financial Hotline to make these IRS calls and Social Security calls. People who are being threatened with arrest and worse by scary people allegedly representing our United States government. You think these people are probably in a boiler room just trying to what do they get? The Social Security number. I can't imagine someone calling me telling me, your Social Security number's frozen. You're in big trouble.
What? Are you molesting yourself now?
What are they going
to? They want you to send them gift cards.
Hall Financial wants you to know mortgage rates are at a new all-time low. That's why so many people are refinancing right now. We had the guy yesterday who wrote in, said he got 2.9 from 3.5. He's saving $150 a month, which is $1,800 a year, which is, well, it's a long, I mean, a mortgage is a long time. That's $18,000 over 10 years. That's help you make the down payment
that's
on the next
one. That's a one-time and lifetime fee.
Rates mean value if you're on the market for that new home. Remember, Hall Financial Service is the fastest in the business. They average 19 days. Don't mess their average up. I really would hate to find out that Drew and Mike listeners and being disorganized is the reason Hall Financial can't keep their average, which is better than twice as fast as the industry
average. I hear you.
Get your mortgage in half the time of their competitors. And remember, virtual appraisals can be done without someone setting foot inside your house. Call Hall Financial, 248-308-5000, or go to davidhallmortgage.com/Drew and Mike, or click the link on our website, NMLS number 1467435.
And the home of big kitties and camel toe.
Is not bad.
Must have come out the website. I don't know.
Are we off of Facebook?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. What did I want to mention?
I think the hostage situation, which one got resolved.
Oh yeah, hey, let's hold off on that. Let's call about Social Security numbers. I don't want listeners going to jail. I think anything we can do to keep the audience safe. I'm really like the Big Ten commissioner. I want all of our listeners to be safe and healthy.
The safety of our listeners come first.
Absolutely.
Social Security Administration, please wait while we connect you to our investigation officer.
Yes.
Harry,
please hold while
like
I try to connect
kind of real.
You.
Don't crank that too loud.
Thank you for calling Social Security Administration. How can I help you today?
Okay, sir. I got this frightening message that I am in some sort of a... There's a freezing of my Social Security number. And this is due to some sort of, I guess something is askew with my account, and I've got to make this right. What exactly is the problem?
May I know whom I'm speaking with? Can I have your name?
Yes.
So I can check in my system?
Yes, this is Mr.
Jep. What was the reason?
Okay, this is Mr. Jepinus. You got a pen?
Yes.
Sir? Hello?
Yes, I am here.
Okay, it's spelled. Are you ready? I'm going to spell for you. Are you ready, sir? Hello?
Yeah, can you suck my dick, motherfucker? Don't call me here.
Oh,
mother
suck
chose.
My you asshole.
Whoa.
Oops. Whoa.
Whoa. What?
It happened so fast that I didn't realize I was saying that. Well, Brian, will you bleep that, please? just bleep the word I said.
You're ashamed of yourself?
Well, I didn't. It was a little dramatic.
I don't think so. It was a natural reaction.
Why was he being just so he was suspicious from the beginning?
I think when he typed in Japanese, he pulled you up with a circle slash. I'm calling him back.
Social Security Administration, please wait while we connect you to our investigation officer.
What happened?
Please hold while I try to connect you.
He really went off on me. I was a little startled by that. I was not expecting that.
You had me at hello, Jerry Maguire, 2000. Ha ha.
I'm sorry. No one is available to take your call. Thank you for calling. Goodbye.
What? Should we call the other one and then call him back?
Yeah.
We've had a lot of experience at calling numbers to check on them and then understanding. Hello?
Social Security Administration. How can I help you?
Yes, I was calling, sir. I was told that my Social Security number is possibly being frozen and I would face some penalties of some kind.
Yes, when was the call is around?
The call was from earlier today, sir. But it was it was an urgent call. It needs to be acted on very quickly, apparently. I mean, this could be again my number, Social Security number being frozen.
Yes, so do you receive any case ID number?
Yes, I do. Oh, no, wait, I don't, sir, I'm sorry, I do not see a case number here. It does not have a case number.
So, sir, just give me your first name and last name, then
Okay.
I just pull out your file.
Okay.
And then check what was the case is all about.
I don't know why there's no case number, but I don't, hold on. Let me see. No, so there's no case number, sir. It's, okay, my last name is Jeppinus, G. E.
Hmm?
GEP?
Hmm?
You got the GEP, sir? Jep?
Hmm? Yes.
Jep? EN?
Yes.
ISS?
ISS?
Yes, two S's. And first name is Hugh?
U.
H-U?
Sorry?
H-U for Hugh?
H-U?
Yes, Hugh Jeppinus is the last name.
Okay, sir. So...
Is my name coming up? Is it coming up in the file, sir?
Just wait a minute. I just check it out. Just hold the line, sir.
Okay.
You about to lose your job.
Hey, keep it down. Hello?
Dead air!
You just...
Sir?
Just disappear?
Is the line still engaged?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm in a lot of trouble, sounds like. Maybe they're getting the supervisor?
Wait, that's them.
That is?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Did you find it? Hello?
You are telling me lies, sir. Hello?
What do you mean?
Your real name is...
Who?
What? No, that's not my real name.
You wish.
And you're calling me a liar?
Really?
You are calling me a liar from your boiler room?
You there?
Sir? You're telling
lies. Fuck you. Fuck you.
You're telling lies.
That's weird. I wonder how
you fuck your mama pussies.
Oh,
I think we've definitely become known.
Is it the phone number, the incoming phone number that gets?
I don't know.
You messed up the wrong guy. Okay.
What was the name he said?
I think he used the name of the person that might have given us this number.
How would they have known?
What?
How would they know? They wouldn't know that.
That's a guy from Comcast.
Then it's not. That's
how, no, how the fuck? How is he getting into this? How does he know all this shit?
No.
Call him back.
Okay.
Big kitties. Are you guys laughing your ass off?
Fuck. I mean, it really seems like we're a known commodity. doesn't it?
Yeah.
Administrations, you're speaking with Officer Andrew Hall. How may I help you?
Officer Hall, I'm calling because I received a notice that my Social Security number has some problems, possible arrest.
All right, sir. In order for me to go ahead and pull up your files, could you verify me your first and last name along with your zip code?
Okay, Officer Hall. Are you a police officer here locally?
No, sir. I'm the officer of the Social Security Administration's
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that was an officer. I mean, I thought you meant like a police officer, because it said I could be arrested. That's why I asked.
Correct. That is an active arrest warrant under your name, sir. Oh, and that's the reason you received a courtesy call before we go ahead and take any kind of legal action.
So if I was to get pulled over, they would tell me there was a warrant?
No, sir. Not at that part of time.
No, that wouldn't happen. Okay. Well, you need what information can you need? My name.
What are your initials?
And
a warrant.
Your zip code.
Okay. The zip code is 48220.
That butt mic.
The Social Security number. I really don't like giving that out of the phone, sir. Hello. Hello?
Oh, come on.
Big kitties.
The fuck?
They're on to you, man.
I like
that. Call that first one back and let me take over, because I have some things I need to say to some Social Security.
Yeah, dial the first guy back. Are those the only two numbers we have?
Yeah.
And Social Security Administration.
Can I take the lead on this one?
While we connect you to our investigation officer.
Go ahead.
Please hold while I try to connect you.
Oh, the song.
What do you have against these guys, Brandon?
You know, I just think I have a... Hello?
Yellow.
Getting trapped with money.
You there?
That sounded like a fart.
Good job, Brandon.
Damn.
You didn't get a chance.
Did you hear something sound like a fart? I could have sworn I heard a fart.
It sounded like butt mic there for a while.
No, I thought I heard an actual blast. By the way, I've seen multiple on Facebook people who do the intercom thing at Targets and stuff.
Yeah.
There's like three or four new ones. It's just so funny seeing the person actually put it to their butt.
And then think about the next person that has to use it for real.
I know, but the only bummer about it is... Butt. It's the same fart. It's the same fart used in every single one of them. So it's actually fake. What people are doing is they're just filming themselves grabbing the phone and putting the phone to their butt, and then they're inserting that same fart. I'm telling you.
What is the point of that?
Just to get viral.
Clicks.
I think I saved the fart. Let me find it. But
yeah, it's a good fart.
Oh, here it is. Not that one.
Let's get it.
This one. Fart 69, the intercom fart.
Did you add echo to that?
No, that's just the way it comes off of all of those viral videos that we see of somebody trying to fart into, you know, a phone at Meijer or a phone at Walmart. They always use.
It just sounded more echoey than I'm used to. Okay. God, political ads are getting wild, aren't they?
Yeah, I haven't seen any new ones lately, though. What ones have you seen?
Well, I haven't seen a ton of new ones, but they're just relentless. And it's every break, especially in the news. And the amazing thing is they really can't separate two people running against each other. They have to run them back to back because it sounds so phony. In fact, go to 11 p.m. on Channel 7 last night. Because it's the same thing where the Peters ad ends and the James ad comes right behind it. But it's almost like they planned it this way at the brilliant offices of John James.
Four or seven, I'm sorry.
Seven. Seven at 11 o'clock.
Yep.
It's right at the outset.
Oh, so I should restart.
Yeah, restart. It's right bang. Here we go.
Peters, one of the most bipartisan and effective senators.
lowering drug costs, protecting our borders, saving taxpayers millions.
Gary Peters.
There's Gary Peters pointing.
I was just going to say, I love the video of him. He's just pointing at a screen, clearly talking about something.
But authoritatively.
Yeah, and then another time he's talking to a black man. And here he is shaking.
He loves black people.
Here he is shaking a bartender's hand.
Peters shows up for Michigan, and that means results for you.
I'm Gary Peters, and I.
And I'm pointing at a screen.
When it comes to our health and security, he's a no-show.
Wait, they just said he shows up.
Peters skipped nearly half his critical committee meetings. Then Peters flew to London for a big-time fundraiser just days after receiving a dire warning on coronavirus. Peters skipped work, then risked lives to raise money. That's about
lives.
As typical politician as you get.
Yes.
Gary Peters. He just doesn't work for Michigan.
Wow.
Better Future MI Fund is responsible for the content of this advertising.
What am I supposed to think? One ad says he shows up for Michigan. The next one says he doesn't show up for anything.
I feel like he's running for parliament or something.
He will go risk lives and take an international flight.
Not only did he take an international flight, he took a very dangerous one. Did you see how close it was to the London Eye?
I didn't even notice that part.
Notice that the plane superimposed on top of, like, the heart of London. Like, flying right over the big Ferris wheel they have
you
there.
Know, someone thought of that, and they're so happy that you noticed.
Well, yeah.
There's
like I noticed the swastika in the background of John James's commercial.
There's Haley Stevens ad. I saw it yesterday. I've seen it a few times now. And actually, you know what? At noon news on Channel 7 yesterday, mm-hmm. It's at 13 minutes after. And what they're saying is that she helped save Michigan's economy.
Oh.
Haley Stevens. I didn't know that.
Well,
I mean,
wasn't she part of the automotive rescue plan back in 08 or some bullshit?
She wasn't like a czar or anything, was she? Or was she?
I don't think she was one of the czars, but...
I don't think she saved the economy. I really don't.
But, no, but I think I'm just saying that's the implication as to why she...
Yeah.
Post that.
They have a Roop Raj actuality from Fox 2. And I swear
noticed.
To God, I thought, wait, did Roop cut that for her? Did he really say that?
That's funny. Yeah, I saw that the other day. You said 7 at noon?
7 at noon.
There it is.
Yesterday, not today.
What's today?
Today is Wednesday. People are listening on Thursday, more than likely. So it'll be Tuesday at noon.
You don't have yesterday's.
What?
No, it's not on there.
Oh, shit. Damn it. Anyway, Mark, you've seen the Haley Stevens ad where Roop Raj is...
Yeah, I didn't know what channel I was watching. I was confused.
Yeah, it's... and they show the time and the logo for Fox 2. It looks like it's a real actuality inside the news of Roop Raj saying, and Haley Stevens did this and helped save the Michigan economy. It's like, what? Wait, is that real? Did they edit that? I mean, how hard did they have to look to find that? It just seemed, I don't know, I was very suspicious, but I can't believe Roop Raj would cut something for the Haley Stevens campaign commercial.
President Obama's two biggest wins for Michigan families were the auto rescue and healthcare reform.
I'm Haley Stevens, and I was chief of staff to President Obama's auto rescue. We saved over 200,000 jobs and strengthened Michigan's advanced manufacturing economy. That's our future. Now that Donald Trump is trying to sabotage Obamacare, I'm running for Congress to protect and improve, to lower costs and get more people covered.
And you know, this is actually
I'd love
a 2000.
To have a voice like that. What a voice.
It's a 2018 ad.
Oh, God, that's piercing. Yeah, that's not the ad because it also says that. Haley Stevens, you know, and I don't, you know, I should know the name. I don't even know the name. I guess she's a rep.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
A current Michigan rep.
Yep.
I don't even remember.
I don't think
she
beat
last
rep.
Time or anything. But anyway, she also promises that she will hold China accountable.
No one's holding China accountable.
How is this representative in Michigan going to hold China accountable? I thought
she's not going to.
That's a bit of a stretch. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not just a bit of a stretch. That's ridiculous. And, I mean, that's actual copy. So then there's a Tim Walberg commercial.
Who? I don't even know who that is.
He's running against Gretchen Driscoll for Congress. And, you know, actually, go to TMZ. Oh, shit. I probably erased it. Do we have yesterday's TMZ? Damn it.
I'll look. Let's see. What
time? Damn it.
TMZ Live or TMZ?
TMZ at 3 o'clock. That's today, right?
Yeah, we can get to episodes from there.
Okay. Yeah, there's a Tim Wahlberg spot at 13 minutes and...
Don't have it.
Fuck. Really?
Yeah, just have today's.
Damn it. Okay, I got to stop doing that. I've been trying to keep up with my not be 99% full all the time.
Why? It doesn't matter.
I know, you know what's funny? with the DVR mm-hmm. being full, it's like the reverse of my phone. My phone, oh, I got a whole 2%. I got tons of shit. And then this thing
is your phone jealous of your DVR for being full?
Well, no, it's not, because it views it as the tiny amount that it has left. Because I go, 96%, shit, I can get tons of shows in there. And it just keeps recording, so I'm not that worried. But, Twitter just will not leave me alone for having a low percentage of power available. Because I take a lot of pictures, so it shows that. And people just obsess over it.
You like got to start cropping it out.
A crime. I'm not going to crop it out.
Why not? It's simple. If you want the what? Mob...
Because I'm so ashamed
If you want the bullies to win...
You know, I swear there's been like two or three times where people have gone ballistic because I had 3% left, and it had the lightning bolt. I was plugged in and charging. It was actually gaining power, as they're pointing out how much little power I have.
They know how much you lose electricity here, and then you'd really be boned.
Well, I can always start the car.
I got to say, and this might be jinxing it, you haven't lost electricity here in a long, 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 long time, ever since they redid the lines.
You know, that is really interesting, isn't it? Because mm-hmm. they spent a lot of time here.
They redid the lines. It's the same thing that happened at my house years ago.
We used cut a lot of branches. And
that's what I mean. Yeah.
All right. So I hate going here second because I just hate giving this any special position of importance. But Governor Whitmer had her press conference today.
Oh, she did? I didn't even know.
She did. And that reminds me. Two or three people sent me. I don't even know where this picture was, but it was of Joe Biden at the Detroit Athletic Club.
Mm-hmm.
I guess when he was here mm-hmm. a few days ago, they must have had some sort of special thing for fundraiser or whatever. And Biden is socializing with a few other people or chatting or they're nearby, and nobody's wearing a mask.
Ooh.
And, of course, people are livid about this because Ooh. He tells everyone to wear a mask. He insists he's going to have a mask mandate, and he's not wearing a mask, and he's busted.
Wow.
But it's an old picture, you know? Resign. I mean, it's not like it's a picture from yesterday or a week ago. It's a picture from
it was allegedly,
half a year ago.
No, it was allegedly a picture of him here during his most recent visit.
But it wasn't.
Oh, it wasn't?
But it wasn't, no. Oh, okay. That's from why, March, that's why when everybody shares all these fucking memes on Facebook, it's all 98% of them are bullshit.
March 9th. He was shaking hands with Archer in the picture.
March.
Yeah.
Wait, let me see the picture.
Is this the one?
No.
That's not the one?
That's not the picture.
But, you know, here we go again. I see somebody, actually three different people sent it to me. I look at it. It's like, oh, he was just here, I guess it's possible. But no, that's not good enough. How much work do I have to do to find out
but,
that
I mean,
something
they're not sending you a link, they're sending you a meme.
Stay away from Facebook.
No, it was not a meme.
Well, what publication published it?
I don't remember off the top of my head, but I think the picture had a caption underneath it, too.
Well, it's so bad that...
It doesn't mean anything.
It's so bad that Detroit Athletic Club had to issue a statement about it.
Really?
Yeah.
So did PolitiFact, click on Detroit.com, so did FlixWar.com, Newsbreak.com, APNews.com, every one of them. Reuters even fact-checked it a day
What
ago.
Is the date of the...
March 9th.
No, I mean, when did they just announce this Detroit Athletic Club today?
They released a statement on their Facebook page. I don't know when they announced it. But because it had been circulating so much on social media...
All right, I'll just forget the whole thing. Whatever.
Well, no, I think it's important. Stop paying attention to social media. People, too many people.
Seriously.
I know this was an email that three different people sent me, and you know, generally speaking, when people send me things like the drum sizzle video the guy sent me today, I mean, they're what they think they are, or close enough. But I talked about this yesterday. My frustration when I read something and I say, I don't know if this is true. It's from a publication that seems somewhat trustworthy or has been thought of as trustworthy in the past, but maybe I better see if anyone else views it the same way before I even consider talking about it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of stories.
Depends on the source, yeah.
So it's distressing because a lot of the sources that I feel I have to sort of poke around and find out more are sources I traditionally would absolutely never question, or I wouldn't have questioned.
Well, there's difference between how something is presented and if it has a slant as opposed to an outright lie.
Well, yeah, no.
I see him every day.
I don't, honestly don't ever look at
I don't
at
know if I like the word lie.
Well, that's a lie, though. If you're presenting it as Biden just was at the Detroit Athletic Club.
No, 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 I'm not talking about that. That's not typically what I'm looking for. That's an email that three people sent me. So I didn't spend a lot of time on it. I just thought, oh, you know, somebody else did the work for me. But they didn't. So, and I don't know if there's any pictures of Joe Biden indoors anywhere that anyone can look at to say that he doesn't wear a mask. I didn't even care. I just thought it was kind of funny.
The only one I saw when he was here, did you see him shopping at the, was it the 313 store?
Yes. For gifts for his grandkids.
Yeah, all
was
seven
it,
of them.
Was he getting one for Hunter's child? Hunter's illegitimate child he's never met?
That's all I can think of, though.
Will he ever meet anyone named Biden?
How many items did he actually buy? Hmm.
Okay.
The other reason the Athletic Club put out that statement was because they're like, we have not had events with more than 10 people here because they don't want to get in trouble.
Well, there were like, honest to God, there were like four people in the picture. It wasn't, I would not have thought, oh, look at the reckless Detroit Athletic Club. That did not even cross my mind.
Was it this one?
Yeah, I think that's the picture.
With Duggan and Whitmer in it and then Dennis Archer and Archer Jr.
That might be it.
It was something, if it's not that, it's something very similar. But, I mean, what the fuck? I got to spend a lot of time figuring out if a picture is what it's really attached to. Where was that picture, by the way? What was it? Was there a caption on that?
Yeah. It was good to catch up with dear friend Joe Biden and V. Archer earlier this year, parentheses, pre-COVID.
And where is it? So it's on his Facebook page or something?
It's on Archer's Instagram.
Oh, God. I've completely lost my train of thought. This is so fucking stupid. Okay. So
I don't know. Trump had a pretty funny tweet about Biden, though, when he threw this one out.
I just have one thing to say. Hang on here.
Fuck the police coming straight from the underground. A young nigga got it bad because I'm brown. And not the other color, so police think.
So it's... It's when Joe Biden played
Despacito. Despacito,
yeah, whatever that.
Oh stupid, yeah,
the Bieber song.
Why did he play that? Because
he was in Miami or something, or in Florida.
Was the writer of the song there?
Yes. Yeah.
So he played the song out of his phone.
Out of his eye. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was that just to show that he knows how to use a phone?
Apparently, that he's hip and cool, even though he doesn't know that Despacito means slowly.
Was he rocking out to it?
Yeah,
he's jamming his head to it. I just can't believe that Trump
Why can't you?
That Trump tweets out.
This isn't the first time he's tweeted out a fake video.
It's just...
I'm sorry, I don't...
I don't think many people are going to think that's a real video, but it's just the fact that he's the one tweeting it out is crazy to me.
What is the... Was he retweeting?
Yeah.
And... just because he's pausing for so long? I mean, that's
no,
the fake part?
Of the
no, they swapped the songs out.
Oh.
They put in Fuck the Police by NWA. So it looks like he's like, hey, check this out. And he plays Fuck the Police, except he didn't.
Yeah. Twitter had to give him a manipulated media tag. I've only ever seen it used on Donald Trump.
I saw today that Twitter took down or suspended the account of the Hong Kong researcher who said that the flu originated in a lab in Wuhan, which I'm sure people are all worked up over. I mean, I assume they are.
Worked up because they removed her?
I guess. No. It was a giant story. In fact, it might have been the first story on Daily Mail when I checked on it, which is like, what? Why is this such a big story? It's a stupid Twitter account. But you know, I couldn't help thinking, okay, I understand that the CDC says this is absolutely not true, but when Twitter decides, how do they know?
Well, they can decide. Well,
what's
they can
the
put
CDC's
a-
official? Is it still, it's a bat from a random bat soup? Is that still what we're going with
I think
here?
So, yes.
I don't know. I don't
believe
buy
so.
That shit.
But that's what I mean. How does Twitter know that there's nothing to what she's saying?
So, Brandon, do you think it's more likely someone made it and,
maybe.
And released it? Okay.
I'm just saying, I don't fucking know. It's weird that this thing just came and went out of a little...
But that's how other ones have started, though. I mean, that's why that's why they started with that guess. They're not going to know for years until they can actually track back to it.
That's
how SARS started.
I mean, but that's... For me to say that I know that it was not started in a lab is ridiculous, because I don't know.
I know, but a lot of scientists disagree with this lady, not just our CDC.
No, I understand that. But the CDC told us not to wear masks a few months ago. I mean...
Which is why people don't believe the CDC.
Well, people, you know, honestly,
people believe whatever they want to believe that fits their way of thinking, and that's fine.
But that topic was, and Twitter, I mean, that's the question, though. Is Twitter doing the same thing?
Well, Twitter can do whatever they want. Why can't they?
Well, Twitter's a big platform, though. I mean, Twitter has influence.
Well, so does the Washington Post and New York Times, and people think they make stuff up. So, I mean... If it's going to apply to one, it's going to apply to the other.
No, I mean, it's obviously a gray area.
You are fake news.
I just hate it when people whine about free speech, because that's not a free speech issue. You don't have the right to go on there. It's a private, you know.
No, that's not my issue. My issue is Twitter deciding what isn't or is true.
Pretty much, yeah.
How do they do that? I don't know that they really can do that. I mean, can Twitter really tell us what is true and what's not true?
Yeah, it's their platform. So, if anybody doesn't like it, don't fucking use it.
So if I go through Twitter, I'm not going to find anything that's bullshit. Yeah, I could find tons of things. But it's just interesting that they choose that.
Well, I think they look at the ones that have, you know, big responses to it.
Yeah, exactly. So if it's just some little ugly piece of bullshit, like Steven Spielberg is molesting children, then, you know, no big deal. That goes through. I mean, it's an inherent problem with any of these platforms, because they bear no responsibility for anything, essentially, that's on their site.
Well, it's just funny, because remember when everyone was so mad, like, go use this, I can't even remember what the name was, use this site, it's all, you can say whatever you want on it, and then they get there and they find out, no poop jokes, no titties. It's whatever that platform wants it to be.
Right, but they are suggesting that they know what's true and not true. Which, if it's a large platform, it matters.
I think they're suggesting what they want on their platform or don't want.
But they would have you believe that they are making a qualified decision. And I'm not saying that they're not correct in this case, because I don't know. But I don't know how they know, I guess. Or maybe they just assume maybe the CDC is just their source, and it's that simple.
But that would make it really easy. There's a lot of scientists and people that disagree with this lady. And nobody backs her up.
What do you mean nobody backs her up?
I haven't seen anybody that's been on her side that said, yeah, this evidence looks like...
Brandon?
Man-made, which, honestly...
So it was a bat then, right, Mark?
I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. We don't know if this girl's right either, though.
Do we really know that nobody supports her? Is that accurate to say that nobody?
I haven't seen anybody of any prominence that supports her.
I've seen a million people who think this... Prior to this woman... coming out, this has been something that people have been talking about since the coronavirus came out, because of the fact that, you know, their huge pharmaceutical testing site is like a mile away from this Wuhan market where this bat soup caused everything. And people have been saying it, that China's probably done this to do this, that, the other.
I think it makes more sense in people's brains that it's man-made and we're released, because that just seems too weird that bat would DNA would mix with pig DNA and somehow get to humans.
Well, all I can say is I'm so glad Haley Stevens is holding China accountable, so we don't have to worry about it. Is the CDC becoming too political? 42% say the CDC pays too much attention to politics, and they asked the same question about the Food and Drug Administration. 39% say the Food and Drug Administration pays too much attention to politics. Is vaccine approval being driven by politics? 84% of Democrats said yes. 72% of Republicans said yes.
What does that mean exactly? Driven by politics. Yeah, because you know what? The government has paid a lot of money to figure it out.
Yeah, and they're doing it as fast as they possibly can.
But I hate that question, because there's an implication that that's a negative.
Well, politics is a negative to a lot of people about a lot of things. You know, what's...
Well, the government by nature is politics, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and they've thrown a lot of money, Operation Warp Speed, at figuring it out.
But I have never, in my wildest dreams, did I ever think that I would consider a vaccine that would, you know, save a large number of lives and, you know, protect a lot of people from future problems would be political in any way, shape, or form. That is just, to me, so utterly strange. But Kamala Harris said that she would not necessarily take a vaccine if Trump said it was approved, or yeah, whatever, she however she said it exactly.
If the scientists approve it.
Well, but she implied that Trump would suggest that a less than effective vaccine was...
That's what she thinks, yeah.
Yeah.
But well, I put a little more trust in, you know, Moderna and AstraZeneca.
I'm not really concerned about Trump saying something is a vaccine that's fake. I'm not that worried about that myself, but she is, and she can be as worried as she wants. And actually, a lot of people...
What can you do? Medicine's not a science.
She's far from the only person that's, you know, not so quick to take a vaccine, regardless of who says it is or is not.
It just seems like people's skepticism has all of a sudden turned into, like, just total cynicism about everything. And nothing is true, and nothing is real, and there's ulterior motives for everything. And it's annoying. You should be skeptical, but you don't need to be cynical about every single fucking thing. It drives me up a wall.
Well, I'm not sure cynical. How do you mean cynical?
It's the cynicism that everything's got an ulterior motive, and everything
it's
some other reason, and nothing can just exist.
Nothing is what it is. Nothing is as simple as what it is or what someone says it is.
That's why conspiracy theories get born, and people think Bill Gates is behind a vaccine. I told you about that lady that said, I'm not going to take a vaccine. I'm not going to take something that's tested only on rats before people. It's like, read anything. Read any study. They're testing it on humans right now. But people don't want to believe what they don't want to believe.
I know, and that's part of why we're in this mess that we're in, because I don't think people... Well,
I don't get it.
A lot of it has to do with the internet, and people think that they can find out anything at the drop of a hat, and they can't, because you can't read two sentences and know the facts about most things. But
because you have to read more about it.
But most people don't. And they also will take someone, will send them, oh, here, check this link out. And oh, it's just what I thought. Oh, my God, this vaccine is bullshit.
That's
I know, it's kind of maddening. In fact, I can't even remember what I was starting to talk about, and I got hung up on this picture because it was related to something. And the next thing I know, there's really no conversation at all because the picture isn't real. And I honestly just thought it was I just thought it was funny.
Well, you know, I fall into that trap all the time about getting into the weeds of stuff, and it sucks. I hate it. I don't want to, but... Well,
yeah, I just want it to be a simple, you know, isn't this kind of funny? No, I know. And so here we are 10 minutes later.
Well, this is funny, though. You can have that story. I haven't fully read that one yet, though. Just read the headline.
Public health officials in lonely quarantines have led to an unlikely sexual renaissance in the pandemic.
What is it?
The glory hole reopens.
What? Because of the pandemic, the glory hole is back, I guess, because no face-to-face contact. I'm assuming
but face-to-penis contact is... Well, I mean, that's...
You use your butt.
I want me some glory hole.
But wait a second. Surely, if we're concerned about something coming out of your mouth, aren't we concerned about something coming out of your penis?
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. 100%. Yes.
This summer, Jonah, a gay 20-something in the D.C. area, was frustrated after months of the coronavirus lockdown. His sex life...
Can you imagine how frustrated he must have been?
I know. A gay guy?
Jeez. Like he could just beat off in his own house.
His sex life... as with so many others, have been completely upended by the pandemic. Then he stumbled on what seemed like a safer sex option, a glory hole.
Why?
Jonah found his glory hole. Well, this is from Public. Whose article is this? This is from...
I forgot.
This is a health magazine or something?
Yeah,
Jonah found his glory hole, or a hole in a wall or other barrier between parties allow for an honest...
Oh, yeah, we know what it is, magazine.
Oral sex. It's a health magazine. So some people who are reading... boring health magazines they're not up to speed on glory holes.
By the way, there's been no evidence that COVID is transmitted through semen or vaginal fluids.
Well, then maybe it is safer. So, maybe they'll tell us that. Jordan found his glory hole through the sex and dating app.
Gloryhole.com?
Grindr.
Oh.
From there, he was directed to an online scheduling site. They're scheduling glory holes? How do you get certified as a schedulable glory hole?
How much space between appointments?
Maybe he'll tell us that.
How long are appointments? God, there's so many questions.
Scheduling site required minimal information. During his first time through, he received written instructions on where to meet along with a helpful reminder of the time. When he arrived at the station, he saw a wide partition with a gap in it. It was unlike any other experience I've ever had. Satisfying, but I couldn't wrap my head around the mystery. I was at ease because I didn't know what the other person looked like, but also concerned for that same reason. It ended, and he left the bathroom before I could even pull up my pants.
Well, that's rude.
Wow, so what's the other person on the other end so ashamed of?
Maybe his appointment was running over.
I guess, you know, maybe he's due at another glory hole.
Yeah. Hey, don't forget that we found that there was like a 411 for glory holes. Don't you remember? This was like maybe 3 or 4 years ago when we investigated local glory holes.
Yeah, it's a very helpful, handy guide.
Thank you, Internet.
Are someone who wants to live near glory holes. Okay. You can see a little blue.
Put your address in.
Is that going to be on a realty listing soon? 16 glory holes within 4 miles.
Okay, let's see. Here's your glory hole. How many glory holes within?
Brandon, you put the address in. I thought that was the answer. Like, it was at this address.
So you have 2 glory holes that are 10 miles
from
you.
Don't put my address in this thing. What the fuck?
I don't want to go to that one. Go to the other one.
People coming over here.
You want to go to the glory hole in Clawson?
Where's it at?
It's close enough.
Allegedly, where is it at?
Oh, I'm sorry. Madison Heights. You're off the hook, Clawson.
Can I schedule something?
Look at it.
You know, this is pretty incredible, actually. If
it's a private glory hole, and he says, email me.
And his email is throat me.
Well, at least he has a 7 years experience, I guess.
I better get rid of that.
This is going to show some true naivety on my part. But so you mean to tell me that the glory hole world has people who are receivers, and they like to be receivers all the time, and the givers?
Sure.
I guess.
I would think there'd be a shortage of the people on the receiving end of the glory hole. I would think.
Oh, maybe they're.
I want me some glory hole.
Maybe they. Maybe it's.
I would think scheduling would be a real hang up because you'd always. God damn it, we need some more receivers!
Well, maybe if you're running late and your appointments, it looks like it might take a while for your appointment. You'll just go into the receiving end so you can get to your appointment.
I don't think so. I mean, it seems like you should have to. If you're going to get, you should give once in a while. Jeez.
Check out this glory hole that's really close to you. It's like 8 miles away from you, and it says, hey, stop by my house for a free blowjob.
Come on.
Seriously?
You don't suspect someone. What do
you
think?
God, if I was a gay guy, I would never get anything done. I'd be going to all these places all the time.
I just wondered, did some of that guy's friend put that up there?
Who knows? I don't know. Brandon, why don't you respond and see what happens?
I'm not going to respond. I don't want to.
We could do it live on Facebook while I'll be watching. When you meet your glory hole.
Facebook might delete my account.
No, they won't. You can murder 50 people on Facebook and they won't delete the account. So he arrived at the station in White Partition. He got the BJ. The guy went off and running, scurrying away. Glory holes are often considered a relic of a different, more shadowy era of homosexual sex. They have a long history, but they declined in popularity as the culture shifted and gay life moved out into the open. In 2018, that shouldn't matter, though. Isn't that part of the mystery and the excitement of the glory holes? Yeah. The fact that you don't really know what's going on.
Yeah,
you just know that somebody gives a good BJ.
Yeah.
I mean, that's cool because you can imagine it as whoever you want it to be.
Like a woman.
Yeah. Well, if you wanted to, but I don't think they want to. What if it was a woman and they had no idea?
Oh, that'd be a good for, what was Dick
Clark? And they realized a chick blew him up and be like, oh my God, gross!
Remember in the...
Gross! Oh, I couldn't believe it. I went to this glory hole and during my initial refractory period, I noticed a chick on the other side because I was trying to get a peek, and this chick was scurrying away with a mouthful.
I saw her breasts.
I was so grossed out.
I think I saw that on Bloopers and Practical Jokes. I think Ed McMahon was behind
oh, really? That's a good one. I mean, they thought of everything, didn't they, on that show?
With the special guest of Randolph Mantooth.
What a great show.
The star of Emergency.
An Australian museum even added a glory hole to its collection for posterity.
What?
Yeah. While online directories suggest that kink communities and other enthusiasts have kept hundreds, perhaps thousands of glory holes active around the world, their heyday has passed. Hmm. Wow, so there's active glory holes? You mean they have histories and...
Apparently, yeah.
Who keeps the journal on these things? Do they people the privately? Now,
the website Brandon was just done.
But in a twist worthy of 2020, glory holes are finding new life in the pandemic. Hey, how about that? Pandemic pluses, pandemic minuses. You know, minuses, haircuts, bowling, movies. Pluses, glory holes.
Remember we had our list of winners?
Yes.
Of COVID winners, so I guess we got to add glory holes. Let's see, who else is on the list?
Glory holes are back.
We see Trudy is on the list of COVID winners. Why was she a COVID winner back in March? Art Van was. Remember how everybody was mad at Art Van and then COVID came and saved him?
Uh-huh. Glory holes are finding new life in the pandemic. They received support from an unlikely corner. Public health officials who have mostly urged people to stay home. In several regions, health departments worried about high-risk hookups during the coronavirus have alluded to or outright recommended glory holes as a safer venue for casual sex. How fucking cool is that? I mean, is that the coolest thing the health department's ever done? Ever!
It's pretty open-minded of them.
The Canadian BC Center for Disease Control, the New York City Department of Health and Mental Hygiene, and others have recommended in one way or another the use of glory holes for sex. In New York, the city's official COVID-19 Safer Sex Bulletin didn't mention glory holes directly, but advised residents to make it a little kinky and be creative with sexual positions and physical barriers, what? Like walls. Like walls? Be creative with sexual positions and physical barriers.
Build
like
the walls. And put walls. And drill a hole in it. For
all
your penis.
All you need is something with a hole in it, and you have a glory hole.
How weird.
Michael Lanza, spokesman for the NYC Health Department, explained that the goal was to harm reduction. The key here is to limit face-to-face contact, as the virus that causes COVID-19 is spread primarily through droplets, he said.
Through what?
Droplets. Droplets. Bort Beisner. Bort Beisner. Bort Beisner. I am the morning drive personality. WGLH. Glory Hole Radio. WGLH. Or KGLH, if you're on the West Coast. If you're west of the Mississippi, it would be KGLH.
Fun fact, WGLH is an actual station for a high school.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Yeah, boy. Well, glory holes do, let's see, what was it? Oh, droplets. Let's put primarily through droplets, he said. He emphasized that leading a safe sex life is vital to the mental well-being of many people in New York, so the advice is more than practical. Glory holes do limit potentially dangerous face-to-face contact, but their actual risk is unclear. That depends partly on the environment that houses the glory hole.
Oh.
I like the choice of the verb there, as in houses.
Yeah.
And other factors. For one, researchers have detected the virus in semen, but haven't established it can be transmitted by seminal fluid. That's weird. Researchers have detected the virus in semen, but haven't established if it can be tracked by seminal fluid.
Okay, or blood, because it's respiratory.
Yet, if people are going to continue to have sex with strangers, as public health officials have ample reason to believe, glory holes might be among the safe venues. Is sex with strangers, is that a commonplace thing?
I would think so, after, you know, with the advent of Grindr and Tinder.
So, to the point that you don't see the person, you just meet them in the dark, and you just do it?
Oh, I don't know about that.
Jonah, the gay man near D.C., told me that with glory holes...
I forgot about poor Jonah.
Jonah. As a Jonah Falcon. The man near D.C. told me that with glory holes, he thought to limit the most dangerous acts like kissing and remove the need to bring a stranger into his home. If he had the option of inviting a hookup over right now or meeting him for glory hole sex, Jonah said he would pick the latter 10 times over. And I quote, he said,
pandemic or no pandemic.
10 times over. Other men offered similar stories. One James, who's in his 40s and lives on the East Coast, decided to use glory holes as a means to have sex, but to manage the risk. I hadn't had sex in 2 months, and I was pretty horny, so I was looking for things that would be safer, he said. And it would seem that if you're not kissing the person and rolling around in bed for 30 minutes, these things seem to lower one's risk, even though it's obviously not zero risk.
Rolling around in bed.
On his first time through, he discovered a private station via Grindr and said he found the experience surprisingly casual and relaxed.
Oh, all right, good.
A recently renewed interest in glory holes seems to be widespread, at least according to people.
I find it hard to describe that as relaxed, but then again, that's not what I'm into.
Renewed interest in widespread, at least according to people who run private stations. Private glory hole stations?
That's,
isn't that kind of snobby? Is that like the country club of glory holes? We have golf privileges at our glory hole.
No cleats in my hallway.
You have to join the club. You can be blackballed by our board from any glory hole activities, also the golf and tennis and the swimming pool.
And just like the good country clubs, no women.
For me, it's a reminder. I, too, have been here 23 years. And it is a reminder. I've been here when it was glory hole days, and I've been here when it wasn't. And so having said that, I want me some glory hole.
Yeah.
Brandon, did you play that drop so you could down the rest of your dinner that was in a bowl there?
What? No.
Man, must be nice to have dinner during the show.
Well, because I can watch him eat it, which is kind of fun watching you eat. Normally, I hate watching people eat. But you were being very cautious as to not make a noise. So then you fired that longer drop and you picked up the whole bowl and just downed the rest of it.
Make a noise.
Well, was that what was happening?
You know, sometimes you got to be innovative and sometimes drop helps you.
I give you full credit. It was a good move. What'd you have for dinner?
Just grilled cheese and tomato soup tonight. We're all sick nice. Here.
Yummy. Oh, what do you mean sick?
Uh-oh. Yeah, we're all sick.
What kind of illness are we talking about?
Cold, sinuses, all this. It's nasty.
Brandon has puppy trading illness.
So I think that Brandon's sex life right now would be glory hole or bust.
Is that true?
Glory hole or bust?
Bust.
Drew, I remember what it is you wanted to talk about. Whitmer's press conference.
Oh, that's right. Wow, that seems like a long time ago.
It was a long time ago.
Okay, well, let's...
I don't know anything about it. That's why I wanted to...
I wasn't too pumped for it, but anyway, let's... We don't want to cut short the glory hole conversation.
Oh, I thought we were done with it. Okay, I didn't know there was more.
He's a practice growing. This is Rich, the gay professional in his 50s living in Washington State. He's been running a private glory hole out of his home. Out of his home for nearly two decades.
God, what?
My God. Founded after a sting at a local cruising area, his operations have always had a steady flow of patrons. Does he blow all these guys?
How does that work? Does he do it out of the garage? Does he have a shed? I mean, you don't want that in the foyer of your house.
No, that would be pretty rough with, especially.
Or does it just work like the mail slot on the front door? The doorbell rings, you just insert peen. The neighbors just see people constantly at the door knocking and then press their whole body against it.
What about the scheduling? Scheduling all these people in your home? You got to have one guy here and one guy there. It's two people.
Maybe he likes the surprise. Maybe he just likes walking by the front door and seeing a random unit poking through that mail slot. Time to get to work.
I've been in touch with quite a few others over Twitter that have recently installed glory hole arrangements as a response to the pandemic. Wait, really? Quite a few?
What?
Quite a few people thought, you know what? I got to have a glory hole station.
I bet you anything there is on YouTube how to make a glory hole.
How about how to set up a glory hole station? That'd be better. Found it up. Blah, 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 blah. Wait. Okay, so it's a responsive. Now, Rich, so yes, glory holes have become more popular, but especially with a recommendation from the New York City Health Department, Canada, and others endorsing the job. At Rich's station, he said, both those initially slowed down as lockdown began, but he's seen an uptick in recent weeks.
Hey guys, I'm David Wavy, and we just filmed the hottest erotic video for Himroast.tv. It's called Glory Hold. If you guys want to see a free preview of it, just head on over to Himroast.tv, and you can even become a member to get access to our hundreds of videos.
Oh my God!
I found another one.
That just reminded me of something. Did you see that? The guy, there's two guys in stalls.
Yeah.
And the one guy taps his foot a couple times.
Yeah, just like, yeah.
Like what happened to me in the Virginia Tech library.
Tried and true.
A freshman sitting down on the toilet.
Yeah, how was
it? In the basement bathroom. And all of a sudden, I said, fuck, that shoe is getting really close. Oh. What is going on? How wide a fucking stance does this guy have? and it's really freaking me out. And then I noticed that the foot taps a couple times, and I noticed that
you responded with,
what's wrong, is you gay or something?
I noticed that one of the little tiles, they were very small, said tap twice for BJ.
Oh god, wait, does that mean
I was at a glory hole station?
Was it to receive or give?
I don't know.
That's my favorite.
Shut up. I was so freaked out. I was like, this isn't happening. This doesn't really happen in the world. This is unbelievable. What is going on?
I assume that the stall in the station next to you had the same thing, right?
What do you mean the same thing?
Tap two, three times for...
It's just the tile said tap twice for BJ, and that shoe tapped twice.
But the problem is that either side could do that. So do you think there's ever been a situation where they both went into the glory hole at the same time and the tips touched? No, you're on the other side this time, my man.
Today we're going to talk about glory hole mishaps, which do happen.
Give us the call in.
I've been in a few crowded glory holes myself.
But you know what I mean? I don't know. There must be a whole etiquette we don't know about.
So where do we leave off? Rick was talking about his uptick in glory hole business at a station in recent weeks. It's the role of public health agencies as three emergencies on Lanza. The New York City Health Department spokesman says, I don't think so. We are a sex-positive health department, he said, noting the city's guidelines were inspired by manuals for safer sex with the initial AIDS crisis, like how to have sex in an epidemic.
What's the guy's name?
Rich.
Oh.
Oh, Lanza? Yeah, the other guy? He's from the health department.
What's his first name?
I
thought you just said his first name. I don't know. Never mind.
Well, they referred to him earlier in the story.
I honestly thought you said Adam Lanza, which I believe is the Sandy Hook shooter name.
Yeah, it's right. Not Adam Lanza. Okay. Anyway, how to have sex in an epidemic. We adapted some of the guidance to fit the current COVID-19 public health emergency. Still, some local glory hole patrons saw some irony in the moment. Van, another man who's used glory holes and continues to during the pandemic, first advised potential patrons that all glory holes are not created equal.
Oh, really?
By the way.
I mean the actual hole or the person going in it?
It puts the Joe dirt in the hole.
The glory hole in the Virginia Tech Library bathroom?
Yeah.
I would never put... It looked to me like the edge had edges that were not.
It didn't have the stereotypical duct tape around the sharp edges?
No, it needed some sanding. I would have sanded that thing down if I had some sandpaper.
Well, maybe you're supposed to use the toilet paper, like you line the toilet.
Oh, yeah. I hadn't thought about that.
It looks like I'm a wreck. It's in the hole.
Cut, print, gay.
Okay, so Van uses the glory holes, continues to dirt about duck. First of all, all holes are not created equal. He usually finds his glory holes through an online directory. Some stations are suited for a good time, well kept, sanitary, and run smoothly with scheduled appointments at all, like the one Jonah found. Other operators hang a dirty curtain.
What?
Other operators hang a dirty curtain with a hole in it through a doorway
that doesn't work.
Inside their apartment with pets and roommates roaming around nearby.
Oh, that's awkward.
That's so weird. Ugh. In other words, it's worth doing your research. The van also seemed abused by the pandemic-friendly framing of glory holes. Clean and discreet sites have always been available, but none of those qualities capture the most appealing aspect of using glory holes. His reason for going, the thrill of ceremony.
I gotta squeeze my butt!
Do they sing the national anthem before they attend the glory hole?
Hanging a shower curtain or sheets bad because you're going to have a shadow of the other guy.
I know. No, that is so... That's horrible.
And what drop to your knees. What if he's like this, like... Wrap it up. You see that hand doing the wrap it up sign or... Totally
wrap it
bored.
Up, wrap it up.
Yeah.
I find something ritualistic about glory holes which harkens back to the Catholic confessional booth. But at the same time, a deliberate thumbing of the nose that religious dogma, Van told me over email. It adds to the intensity of the experience for me. See, that's I would think it'd be exciting.
Everyone's going to hear about it, that I blew another one.
If I were a gay guy, I'm sure I'd be, I'd have a glory hole station manual somewhere.
Wow, I hope they have good homo's insurance.
Somewhere.
Eventually I get the explosion, but I suck it for a while.
One of the most proudly illicit and transgressive sex acts recast as a state-sanctioned, guilt-free way to hook up in a pandemic. There's a perversion.
Who wants to suck a old man's dick?
That's a perversion worthy of whoever first cut a hole in a wall centuries ago. The end.
Wow.
How about that?
Isn't that great?
How about that?
A fun story.
How about that?
Fun story.
Our many friends at Zot, Fort and Holly and DealsNeedy.com are at it again. They've brought back everyone's favorite month of the year. That's Truck Month, baby. That means right now is the best time to take advantage of this year's most incredible savings on all Ford trucks. Includes the number one selling truck in America, for 42 straight years, legendary Ford F-150. And, of course, You can't ignore the all-new Ford Ranger, the most talked-about truck in Detroit. So get to Zot Ford and lease a new 2020 Ford F-150 Supercrew XLT 4x4 as low as $166 a month. Or see the hottest sales staff in Oakland County about leasing a new 2020 Ford Ranger Crew Cab XLT 4x4 as low as $188 a month. Plus, Gabar and the gang, Zot Ford still have do Ford Fusions, Mustangs, Eco Sports, Escapes, Edges, and Explorers, all under $200 a month. See all the details, surf their massive inventory at DealsInTheD.com. And then you might want to check out the Aldo Eye Center if LASIK surgery is something you've considered because you're sick of glasses, you're sick of contacts, you're sick of all that baloney, and you'd like to just fix it forever. Well, then maybe the $1,500 off at the Aldo Eye Center, if you mention Drew and Mike, is worthy of consideration. Maybe you even want to make an appointment. Maybe you've thought about it, but you haven't done it. And it's like, well, I'm home all the time. I got a lot of time on my hands. I'm going to call 1-800-398-EYES or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com and tell them you want the discount. And then bring a friend, talk the friend into doing it, whether they need it or not. Mm-hmm. And you get an additional half off your surgery. And they'll be delighted with the results because Dr. Yaldo can only make things better through LASIK surgery, the most precise in the world, allowing you to throw contacts and glasses in the garbage and see better than you ever could with them. If you're over 45, multifocal lens implants will have you seeing small print and everything else for as long as you live, and challenging people to see-offs. It's crazy what happens to people. These surgeries are about lifestyle, doing the things you like to do without the harangue of glasses or contacts or the concern or reading glasses. Whatever it is, get $1,500 off the regular price when you call Dr. Yaldo, if you do indeed have LASIK surgery or the multifocal implants. 800-398-EYES, YaldoEyeCenter.com.
Yeah, I do it, man. I got my eyes done a long time ago. Well worth doing.
I got how long ago did you do it? You did it in the 90s, didn't you?
90s? No. 90s. Oh.
It wasn't that long ago?
Back to the 90s!
Well, you said
I'm 20.
Don't tell me it's a long time ago and then get pissed at me because I think it's too long ago. What the hell did I do?
Well, I just, when I think 90s, I think that I was, what, 14 years old. So, no, I want to say it was like 2008, 2009. Maybe not, no, more than that, 2004 probably. I loved it. It's great. And then now, you know, we were talking about all our ailments, and now you have to, you're nothing with your, without your orthotics.
Yeah, nothing.
And
absolutely nothing. I've gotten an email from a number of people who are also nothing without their orthotics.
I've gotten some from people that have sleep apnea. Because I have to wear that machine.
And AIDS!
This guy told me about this thing that they implant it in you and you don't need to use a machine. It sends this electrical signal to it.
What?
And I'm like, oh my God, that sounds fantastic. And I asked him a billion questions. And he wrote me back and I'm like, I'm not going to do that. I'm not. I have a major fear of being put under anesthesia. And he says he's still in the recovery phase for it. But he's like, I don't want to use a machine for the next 30 years.
You have a fear of anesthesia?
Yeah. I don't want to go on.
Anesthesia is freaking awesome.
Nah.
What do they do to him, Mark? They do something to their...
It's three incisions.
Breathing?
They put something like right here.
Uh-huh.
And then there's an incision under your, like where your tongue is. And then anytime you turn it on when you go to bed, and it stimulates the muscles when you breathe. So you can get through like your fat... tongue and through your fat neck.
Oh, you got yourself a nose job. Did you get some plastic surgery, buddy?
It's crazy. I spent way too much time watching videos on it. But then I was like, once he told me the recovery and how, you know, it's outpatient, but still, I was like, oh boy, I couldn't do that.
Okay, so yeah, I was actually stumbling into Gretchen Whitmer's press conference. And I didn't even see the whole thing. I saw enough of it. And I caught a little bit of the update afterwards. But when I turned it on, she was ragging Trump for packing people in at that event.
Yeah.
And...
It's, okay. Is that really the time and place to be ragging him for?
I don't agree with
Trump doing that either, but I'm not the...
She doesn't tell the facts.
I don't think it's the place at a press conference where the governor of the state of Michigan is doing it.
She is a goofus.
I don't think it's probably, I guess they had, you know, a couple thousand people there, 2,500
people. Is she talking
about
the one here or the one in Arizona indoors?
I think she was talking about the one here.
Oh, outside?
Yeah, I believe so. And I turned it on, just flipped it on, but she was definitely giving Trump shit for that and how irresponsible it was. And yet, when it got to the 200,000 or so people on college campuses who are rushing fraternities and sororities and partying like 20-year-olds do and piling up COVID numbers in a couple of counties, she seemed to have a little different spin. She did mention that gatherings of young people on campuses are fueling the rise, but she commended the Ingham and Ottawa County Health Departments and said that they're working together so effectively with these students and educators, and it's all one big happy COVID world. We're providing them data and following the science. I commend students and faculty and health insurance working together. Talk to your kids, parents. So it was a real nice spin when it came to all the COVID at college campuses. And she doesn't seem to have any issue at all with schools inviting, you know, tens of thousands of people to campus to do what they do. And meanwhile, today, Grand Valley State got a stay-in-place quarantine
order. 14 days.
So that's two colleges.
Yeah, we all know.
I don't know. Yeah. How many people are Grand Valley State? Is that a big school? I'm not even sure.
Brandon, you know that better than we do.
Yeah, I would call it a big school. I mean, it's not massive, but they're, you know, they have themselves their own campus, and people live on there, and, you know.
I did not think it was SDSU. Necessarily a big enough school to fuel a rise, but apparently it has. And it's just, I'm just so sick of these sacred cows, casinos, and the big three, and then these people who, for whatever reason, are not sacred cows, like the bowling alleys and the movie theaters, but college campuses, boy, there's a really nice spin on that, and she's really happy to have football back, too. And she said that they have the best experts and testing capability, and she supports the decision. So she got down and dirty.
What's she going to do?
Into the
everybody's happy football's back.
Yeah, but she will shame
Christine Brennan.
She'll shame a bar in Royal Oak for having three positive tests. And she'll shame people for...
I think that's the Harper's effect, because of the outbreak at Harper's.
Outbreak at Michigan State. I don't hear her shaming Michigan State.
I know.
Why is that? I don't know.
Because they were all off campus. I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know why school's back in session.
Because they need the money. I mean, why else?
But I don't understand it, I guess.
So
because it's about time we fix the damn roads.
So today I was watching the news, and I don't want to make this a bit long segment. In fact, I'm going to just look at my watch and make sure it doesn't get too long. And they were playing clips from the Trump town hall. And by the way, the Trump town hall did not seem like a Trump crowd to me.
Yeah, there wasn't a crowd. Did you see the crowd?
Yeah, it was just like
social distancing was quite extreme.
Every 10th seat or something. And anyway, I couldn't believe he was doing a town hall. It just seemed unbelievable to me that he was doing a town hall. It just seemed so odd because, you know, you could ask him any question you wanted. And he was trying to be patient and... You know, I don't think he's necessarily armed with the best set of
that's right.
situations to deal with. But I guess this is maybe it's a sort of a run up for the debate, which I really believe the debate. I don't know why. I think it's going to be really interesting. And I mean that in the weirdest way possible. Like, I mean, I just think feel like crazy shit could happen in that debate.
I don't know what I mean, but.
I will be excited to watch that. It'll be some really good theater.
Did you see the story about how he's not doing any debate prep?
Yeah, he said being president is debate prep. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, but I think you might want to know what's going to be coming at you, but he doesn't care.
Well, I think he knows what he's going to say.
Yeah.
He kind of just does. I mean, that's sort of how
Yeah.
I mean, on the one hand, you could say...
Does he know what Biden's going to say is my point.
You're running for president, so you should be as prepared as you possibly can for this hugely important, very influential event. And on the other hand, you could say, well, he's the president, so he's doing it every day. So, yeah, I can see why. In other words, he's saying that I don't need preparation to bullshit people.
Wouldn't it be great if they both just lost it and started fighting and rumbling, like tackled each other?
Well, Biden's been wanting to beat the shit out of him.
Wanted to take him, quote, behind the woodshed. Two 70-year-old men fighting behind a woodshed. That's where we are in America.
I would pay money to see that fight. That would be
the whole country would.
Yeah. So anyway, they followed up the story with They had new polls from Wisconsin and Minnesota where Biden leads Wisconsin 52-46. And Minnesota, Biden leads 57-41. And this guy went on and on about how that's the state that, you know, they've poured all this money into to, you know, be a replacement for maybe another state that falls short or something. And went on to say that he is down in every battleground state and that Bloomberg is putting $100 million into Florida, the one state where Trump is making pretty good progress, it sounds like. Actually, yeah. Wait, isn't he ahead in Florida?
Yeah, Florida's strongly red now. I mean, in the last couple of years.
He said he was even or down
in Florida. Fuck.
Every battleground state. I mean, just historically,
it's been a toss-up, except for, like, the last few elections. It's been growing pretty red, they say.
Is he, what's the story in Texas right now? Because that's a big one.
Texas,
man.
That's not going to go blue.
Yeah, but it was close. No, I just wondered because he said he's even or behind in every battleground state. And then I just realized Florida, I saw he was up 4 points in Florida, supposedly.
Right now in Texas, I see Trump 47.6, Biden 46.4.
Okay, so that's a toss-up.
Oh, my God.
So anyway, I got thinking about this, and between that story and another story that I saw yesterday, and
we
it was
love
about
you, Texas.
Fundraising, where Biden raised $345 million in the month of August, which is the most ever raised. And he's outspending Trump, I think they said 12-1.
Okay.
And if you watch as much as I do, those Biden ads pop all the time. Have you guys noticed it?
They're on a lot, yeah.
I mean, I know some in now, stuff on YouTube. I know some everywhere.
I mean, here I'm getting in the weeds again, but I'm curious. When they say that, is that spending by the campaign, or is that spending for, you
know, fuck, I have no
do
idea.
They include super PACs?
I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea. All I know is I see Biden ads all the time. All the
time.
What
a great answer to a terrible question.
I mean, they said outspending, you know, by a certain amount, 12-1, which is huge, and I see it because I see Biden ads constantly. And then Bloomberg, $100 million into Florida. And then I'm looking at this
guy.
That
money could be spent a little better.
This reporter goes on to describe, he went through the list of prominent Republicans who are openly endorsing Biden and how unprecedented this is. And in fact, it is. It's very unprecedented. George Bush, Mitt Romney.
Did you see the George Bush part when all that Woodward stuff dumped? Did you hear about the George Bush part in the first dump of the information for Rage?
I don't think I did.
A lot of people, namely Lindsey Graham, asked George W. Bush, hey, can you please talk to Trump about pandemics? Because no matter what you think about George Bush, the one thing he kind of got, because he read the book on 1918, right after SARS, was the pandemic, and he put a lot of money into, you know, getting ready for a pandemic coming up. So Lindsey Graham asked him, please talk to him, and he said no. He said no because he felt that Donald Trump would just misconstrue anything he said, which is just
wait, who
sad.
I'm sorry, who said no?
George W. Bush.
Said he wouldn't talk to Trump?
He said he didn't want to talk to him because he would just misconstrue any advice that I gave him about pandemics. Which I would, you know, once again, this is Woodward coming from through, you know, his book, so people won't believe it or won't believe it. But
America, I just my pants.
I just think that's really interesting.
Well, he's also, you know, he's not voting for Trump. He's said he's
no,
not.
I know, but this
Trump.
Is 6 months ago, 7 months ago when Lindsey Graham asked him.
Well, see, I thought George Bush called for everybody to unite.
Our nation must come together. Oh, to unite.
Anyway, I don't want to get too deep into this, but the main point I was going to make was after seeing these two stories, and both of them were pretty long stories, and the one was talking about, you know, all these Republicans, and he's behind or even in every state, and Biden's money, which was, you know, the one thing, the one place where maybe Trump could make some progress, but no, because Biden raised so much more money, and I think they said Trump is putting $100 million of his own money in. Mm. Did anybody hear that?
Yeah. I've heard he's going to be dipping into his own vault to pay for some of this stuff. And why not? The guy's a billionaire, right?
Well, true. No, absolutely. He wants to win, obviously. But oh my God, honestly, when I kind of compiled all this and processed in my head, I thought it's really in a way kind of odd to see an incumbent who has as much money as Trump, and he is at present, could he be any bigger an underdog? I mean, outside of being the president?
It's weird.
I mean, everything, everything is going against him. If he wins this election, it will be, in my opinion, the Democrats will have lost the election.
Oh, yeah,
I don't think there's any. In fact, I think most people are voting against something. If you're voting for Trump, you're voting against the left.
Biden's not a great candidate. He's just
Was Carter considered an underdog in 80 or no?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Because of Iran and OPEC. And, yeah.
Carter, I don't know what the polls said as far as, you know, a month before, 2 months before. But, I Carter had been through the hostage crisis and, you know,
Jimmy the peanut motherfucking farmer.
Lines at gas stations and, you know, interest rates were 15% or 16%. I mean, I barely remember that because when I got out of college, I think interest rates were 16%.
Wow.
Can you fucking imagine that? It was crazy.
If it wasn't for COVID, Trump would easily win again.
Yeah, I don't know about the whys and the whatevers, but it just was stunning to me to think that it seems that more people, when they do these polls, I've seen this a few times where they not only poll people, say, who are you voting for? And they'll say, you know, Biden or Trump, and it'll come out that it's 48 to 42 or, you know, 50 to 43 or something in that neighborhood. It seems actually most of the recent polls have shown that it's not tightening. And the New York Times had a long piece about how, no, this race is not tightening. Biden is comfortably ahead, and it's just a couple polls, and they're outliers. So it was just blows my mind that not only do the polls show that Biden is ahead by 7-8 points, when they ask the people who they think is going to win, they say Trump more than they say Biden.
I think
for some reason, and I'm not sure why.
It's got to be the 2016 effect. Because it was a surprise to a lot of people that he won, so they feel that he's just going to surprise everybody again.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how you work this. His back is against the wall in a big way, and to think that
I'm shocked that Biden has gained so much in Arizona, like that blows my mind.
Is he ahead in Arizona?
Yeah.
By how much?
Let me find it again.
I don't think Arizona's a ton of electoral votes, but I would certainly expect it to be red. But John McCain is a big thing in Arizona.
Yeah.
John McCain is an enemy of Trump's.
Biden is just slightly favored to win. Now, this is 538 projections based on other polls. I just think that's incredible.
What are the numbers?
That's what I'm looking for. Let's see. Fox News has Biden by 9. YouGov has Biden by 3. Looking for some of the better ones.
Wrong.
Fox News does do good polling, by the way, for anybody that has an opinion on Fox News. I mean, it's mainly him by like anywhere from 3 to 9 points.
It's just incredible to me that as an incumbent president, he has so many things working against him, and yet a lot of people still think he can win, even financially in terms of money raised. $345 million. What did Trump raise in August? Did they even say? I assume the number was dwarfed.
I haven't seen it.
Because all of the narrative is about how much money Biden raised, and it was a record and blah, 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 and small donations, so it's lots of people. And they had some huge fundraisers since, and it seems that Trump's only the only move he can make is to spend his own money, which, you know, it's the advantage of being a billionaire, I suppose. But
what were you going to say, Brandon?
Trump raised $210 million in August.
Oh, wow, that's not as bad as I thought.
That's what it takes, a 100-year-old white man to make this work.
Well, you know, as far as I don't understand why is Biden running so many more commercials in? Because it is, you guys don't notice it?
No, I notice a lot of his commercials.
When I see a Trump commercial, it really stands out. It's like, oh my God, it's a Trump commercial.
I feel like I see a lot of those super PAC spots.
Well, I don't even care who is. I just see it. You know, call me an idiot, but that's how I view it. Is how many commercials are running, and maybe that's why it seems like it's more than 35 to 21. But anyway,
it's crazy.
Yeah, it is. And you know, we
how
still
many
have
more days. Are we almost
50
there?
50 days.
Yay!
Yeah, I swear, I just can't picture that night. I can't feel how it's going to go down because. There's that thing in the back of my head.
It's going to be entertaining as hell, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is going to be. It's going to be very interesting. If it's close, it's going to be.
I haven't started, and I already want to quit.
If it's close, it's going to be a crazy night and a crazy couple of days. So we'll see. We're at the edge of our seats. But we still have three debates. Three debates. I don't know what. I really don't know what that is going to be. I can't tell you who's going to win the debate. I don't know.
Is Ken Bone going to be on somebody's TV for debate coverage? Should we call
the
Ken Bone?
Zone.
We should call him. Remember when he is podcast?
The Bone Zone? Is he still doing it?
Let me find out.
Did he ever reveal who he was voting for? I gotta say, Ken Bone's one of our best gets of all time.
Because we snaked him from Jimmy Kimmel. He was in the limo going to Jimmy's, and we snaked him, and we got the interview during the limo ride.
I mean, Vin Scully, I think, trumps it. That was a huge get, the Vin Scully get.
Oh, yeah, it was gigantic.
But Ken Bone was huge. Big.
We got him. What was right after? Wasn't it the night of?
Yes.
Like we caught him going home or something.
I think it was the next day, wasn't it?
It was the next day when Jimmy Kimmel was driving him to his studios in a limousine.
But Bone is out of hand. I mean, he fell in love with himself. Yeah. That was the cool thing about him was that he was so regular. And all of a sudden he said, hey, I'm not just regular fat Ken Bone wearing a stupid sweater. I'm Ken Bone, podcaster, commentator.
It appears that the Bone Zone podcast or show.
Don't tell me it pod-faded.
Pod-faded about 2 years ago.
What?
Let's see here.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Ken Bone Zone milestone episode number 40. Indeed, a milestone.
Great production.
The final episode of season number 2. Thank you for sticking with us.
Season?
Season
he has
we will be
seasons?
Back in a couple of weeks in time for election season with the premiere of season number 3, at which time we're going to be expanding to more platforms, reaching a bigger audience.
Seasons, jeez.
Get over yourself, Bone. Let me see. Let me check his ranking, see if he's...
He hasn't done it in a long time.
Yeah, he's not going to have any rankings. He went for Yang this time around. I remember that. Yang Gang.
Yeah, if only, man.
The Bone Zone, there it is. Is that a stupid picture? Oh, my God. No, that's not him. That's Dr. Raj Sinha.
Remember he got canceled because his comments on Reddit?
Who, Bone?
Yeah, that was
what
the
did
big
he say?
Story.
What did he do?
He had the... misogynistic or just really
it's an everyman.
Everybody and welcome to the Ken Bone Zone. I'm so glad that you're here. With me tonight is my very special guest host, Twitter. Twitter is here with me tonight. How are you guys doing? So far we have how many folks do we have? We have 162 co-hosts.
What the fuck is what is Twitter doing there? That pisses me off.
He's just got his Twitter open.
I remember somebody found one of his archived Reddit messages where he was talking about the leaked Jennifer Lawrence photos, you know, of the fappening.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, hey, maybe she should have been more careful with her pics, but the bad guys are still the ones who sought them out and looked at them, which, by the way, I saw her butthole and I liked it.
Yeah,
he said that?
He's the everyman. Should we call him? Should we call Bone and see if he's ready for debate season?
Why not?
What a ludicrous question.
Oh, my God. The Bone Zone.
Yeah, I want to know what happened with the Bones.
If he's not available, I'm going to be really disappointed. It just seems like he should be so available.
What if he changed his number? That'd be even worse.
No way. No way.
He does
not want to lose track of people.
Just like Jeffrey Felix.
Oh, that's right.
We got to call Felix, too. We've got Felix. Why did Felix change his number? We don't know.
Nope.
Okay. Bone has 804 ratings. The main reason I'm intrigued by his podcast is because when he first put his podcast out, I just remember that it was, it had, of course, all these brand new people, brand new accounts, which is what the algorithm loves.
Yeah.
And he was very briefly rated pretty substantially ahead of us.
It's Ken fucking Bone,
like,
man.
Boy, you know, 30 years into a career in one town and some asshole wears a sweater to a debate and boom, put in my place. He's got good ratings. 4.8 stars. The best podcast ever on Podcast Addict.
My name is Ken Bone.
Ken Bone.
Ha!
Hi, you've reached Ken Bone. I'm sorry I couldn't take your call, but leave your name and number. I'll get back to you as soon as I can.
What are you so busy with, Bone?
At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
The Boner! Bone Man! Hey, Ken Bone, it's the Drew and Mike Show in Detroit. Give us a call back. We just wanted to get up to speed with you as we head into heavy-duty election season.
Debate season.
Yeah. Looking for you to be bad to the bone, too. Let's go, Bone!
I have his dad's phone number. Is that...
I'd rather Ken Bone's dad?
I think that's how we got his cell phone number, is we reached his dad first.
Well, should we call his dad?
find out how fame has changed his son.
Yeah, we're doing Where Are They Now?
This is ridiculous. All for it.
I think it's no less ridiculous than calling Sanjaya's dad for information on Seattle.
I love Sanjaya's dad.
Should we call Sanjaya's dad about the wildfires? Sure he's okay.
Hello?
Hi, is this Mrs. Bone?
It is.
Hi, Mrs. Bone. This is the Drew and Mike Show calling from Detroit. How are you doing this evening?
Who are you?
I'm Drew from the Drew and Mike Show. We're friends with Ken, your son.
My grandson.
Oh, Ken's your grandson.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So useful. Yeah. We've talked to Ken on the show, and we were, of course, big fans of his after seeing him on the debate. And we are doing kind of a Where Are They Now feature now to find out. You know, what's transpired with someone since his big brush with fame. And, of course, he built that great podcast, and he's had great success with it. We're just wondering if you've noticed any changes in Ken, your grandson, since this all happened.
Absolutely none.
Oh.
No change in him at all.
Really? Because some people said he seemed to be working a lot harder, and he seemed to be very driven, but you haven't seen that?
Oh, well, that, yeah, but I thought you meant personality-wise. No, he works hard and, yeah,
still
no.
Still the same old bone?
As far as personality, he's still my grandson.
Aw.
Oh, it's, you know, he seems like a great guy.
Does he still have the red sweater?
I don't know about him, but Grandma has one.
Oh.
Now, Grandma, some people are saying that Ken has been working out a lot.
Oh, that I don't know.
Okay, so that would be completely out of the norm for
Seemed
Ken.
Dubious about it.
No, I just don't know. I'm
okay.
Not going to say out of the norm. I just don't know.
Now, does Ken talk to you as much as he used to? Because some people are saying it's kind of hard to get in touch with him because he's so busy with his name and being Ken Bone.
No, I talk to him about like I always do. He calls me occasionally with the COVID going on. He calls and checks on me.
That's good.
Oh, that's great to hear.
Great grandson.
Upset, you know, to hear that he was losing touch, but apparently that's not the case. Yeah. You got to be careful what you believe when some people say stuff like that.
A lot of fake news out there.
Yeah.
A lot of fake news.
And Grandma Bone, do you have any thoughts on the upcoming election or who you think might win?
No, Grandma's waiting for the debate.
You're undecided.
I'm not going to say that. I'm just saying I'm waiting for the debate.
Well, okay. Now, would Grandpa Bone, would he like to check in on this? Because we, you know, anyone we can get that's that close to Ken Bone on this.
Only if you can get him in heaven.
Oh.
Grandpa passed away.
I'm so sorry.
What about Darren? Is that your son?
That's my son.
Oh, that's who we talked to last time.
And he is not here right now.
Oh, okay.
Oh, does Darren live with you?
He does.
Oh, how nice.
He takes care of you. Is it your house or is it Darren's house?
No, it's my house.
It's time for him to move out.
He takes care of me.
He does. Okay, because some people were saying he might be freeloading on his mom, but I don't know, living in the basement and stuff, some really grislies, but that's not the case.
Never say that,
good.
My son.
A lot of fake news, man.
I know people, why do some people say stuff like that? But anyway, and they really don't know what they're talking about, but I'm so glad we got it straight with you, Grandma Bone, and you have a great night.
Let Ken know we're looking for him.
I will tell him.
Thank you so much for your time, ma'am.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye, Grandma.
Boy, she's a chip off the old bone block.
I did have some actual audio before Grandpa passed.
Oh, good.
Yeah, this was him
so
on
thankful
Ken
for this.
Right after all that stuff in 2016.
Yes. This piece of my grandson.
This piece of my grandson.
Okay, we got it. While we're at it, while we have the Hall Financial Hotline really zinging here, we
can.
Might as well.
Blowing
a call to Jeffrey Felix.
Guarding the Juice fame.
Guarding the Juice. Also, he's our Nevada correspondent. Generally, he's been so available to talk about the tribulations of Guarding the Juice, but we were absolutely shocked.
And his big dong, remember?
Yes. The last couple times we called Jeffrey, that he was unavailable. He's always available. I mean, he's in the John Legend category for being available. He'll always call you back if you don't get him right away, kind of like Maz does. Mm-hmm. By the way, there's some interesting Maz developments.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'll tell you in a second. But first, Dr. Roche wants you to know that they are doing all those things they do to make people look better. Cosmetic work, whether it's new boobs, big boobs, medium boobs, giant boobs, whatever kind of boobs you want, if it's safe and it makes sense. Dr. Roche does a great job. Boobs, boobs, always boobs. That's what I say. But then there's Evolve and some of the other things that they're doing. Trudy, I know, has been really excited about Evolve, which, you know, you just basically lie down and they shoot a laser at you and it contracts stomach muscles and hopefully it, it's supposed to chew up fat and build muscle while you lie there.
I need that.
I thought it sounded pretty cool, too. And, of course, Diva and liposuction and all the other things. And people are doing these things because they've got time to recover at home. They don't have to go into work and, you know, be wounded for a couple weeks or, you know, sucking it up. Just suck it up at home. And rarely do you get opportunities like that. So many people are taking advantage of that. So call the offices of Dr. Roche if you want to get a consult, 248-338-1110, or go to DRROCHE for Dr. Roche. And Luke Nowacki is COVID-free. That's the headline.
All right. Congratulations, Luke.
How's the market doing today? Okay.
Any idea? It was until the Fed spoke.
Oh, no. What'd the Fed say?
I don't know. I just saw him yapping up there. And the Zoom call with the most people I've ever seen on it in my life. Honestly, there were like 50 people on a Zoom call.
It looks so stupid, doesn't it?
It really does, because I just feel like they're all just going to ask a question at the same time.
Well, I would be so dreamweavered if I was one of the 50 talking to someone, because I would just know that other people are going to have to ask questions.
Yeah.
And I'm probably going to want the thing to end, so I'm not going to participate as a way to make it go faster.
Yeah,
which is unfortunate.
Remember that?
Probably true.
That story about the guy at, they were introducing the new market manager at Riff.
Oh yeah.
And you know, we're exhausted because we're all doing the morning show, and so I thought, you know, it's all hands on deck meeting, and it's that really awkward thing when they wrap it up and everyone goes, "Any questions or comments?" And it's like 5 seconds of silence, and then one person. I just want to welcome you to the city of Detroit, blah, 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 blah. My name is blah. And he asked the dumbest question. It was answered. Any other questions or comments? Same guy. Well, I want to capitalize on
the look. Right, to have this kind of access to a man of your power, this is great. So I just want to make sure I get it all out.
The looks. I mean, because Clark, one of the best things about, and worst things about Mike is he never knew how loud he was or wasn't.
No, he didn't. So he would, especially at movie theaters.
So you would just remember, oh, God, this guy.
Ah, boy.
Really loud. To which gets everyone's attention.
Well, if I remember correctly, was it not a part-timer?
It was a part-timer,
so,
yeah.
So, you know, if you're a part-timer, why would you be?
Hey, Gim Cray's taking, taking full advantage of the time
he had. I remember an incident with another part-timer, a similar meeting, but first, Luke Nowacki at Pinnacle Wealth Strategies, 248-663-4748, Rational Financial Advice. We all can use some of that right now. Coronavirus, what does it mean now? What does it mean in 6 months? What does it mean in 6 years? Who knows? Jeez. Stocks or bonds, what kind of balanced portfolio is right for you? How much growth are you looking for? How much risk can you stand? And how much risk can you manage? And if you're investing money, how soon might you need it? Because those are all important questions that someone like Luke would want to answer before they did anything for you. So if you don't have a financial plan, call Luke Nowacki, and you might want to work one up or give some thought to the future. Or maybe you just have some money to invest and you're not sure what to do with it. 248-663-4748. Security Investment Advisory Services
offered Securities and Investment Advisory Services offered through Royal Alliance Associates, Inc., member FINRA SIPC. Royal Alliance Associates, Inc. is separately owned, and other entities and or marketing names, products, or services referenced here are independent of Royal Alliance Associates, Inc.
You wish.
Oh, I could have never said it so quickly. Or eloquently.
So what meeting? What part-time?
This was when... Okay, when I got to WRIF, it was Great American Radio. And Great American was really good. Great American had Bob and Tom at WFBQ in Indianapolis, and they were a machine. They were just killing it. And we had a Milwaukee station that was Bob and... What was that morning show? Bob and... I was going to say Blazy. Blazy's out west at KSJO. Bob and Blazy. Bob and somebody. Anyway, they did really well. And it just had some good Midwestern rock stations and a lot more stations than I think we had with Greater Media. But they had made a couple of moves. I think it sold FBQ in Indianapolis like the year before, and they got a ton of money. I want to say like it was FBQ and another station for $90 million, some insane amount of money at the time.
So when you got here, was Great American owned it?
It was Great American, yeah. And I still remember the president, Dave, and Dave came in one day and was like, oh, there's a big meeting. Well, all of a sudden, I didn't know about this. And it was just, you know, like, I think we knew he was in the building, but, oh, he's having a meeting. Oh, my God. And so they announced that they had sold WRIF.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and that meeting was
he's
so memorable.
In the building!
Because Mike and I were in the back, and that was in 93, and he specifically mentioned that that WRIF never recovered from the change in morning show.
Oh, that's nice.
I know. It's really nice.
Thanks.
And we were like, oh, thank you so much, and thanks for promoting us! I mean, they spent no money on promotion. They did no promotion whatsoever.
Thanks a lot, dickhead.
That was not a great day. That was not a great year, actually. And then, anyway, at the end... that meeting, a part-timer fired off a flurry of questions. The same person. And all of us wanted to get out of there and go, oh, my God, can you believe this happened? And we couldn't leave because this guy kept pounding him with questions. And it was like, part-timers do have health insurance now because those of us are grandfathered in the AFTRA, you know, plan.
Oh, yeah.
So what'll happen to our insurance? It's like, oh, who fucking
knows? I don't fucking know. I'm out of here.
They just cut the deal, Jesus. And they were very specific to him, and they didn't really have a lot of connection to the rest of us.
Would I know this part-timer?
I don't think you do.
Can you say it and Brandon will bleep it out?
Sure, right. I already got a bunch of bleeps.
Oh, no. No idea.
Yeah, he was good on the air. He had a big radio voice.
Cool.
But, yeah, he was peppering the... Well, he was the former owner, so I guess.
Yeah,
former
why
CEO,
former,
so who cares? I mean, you don't have to kiss his ass anymore.
No, but why would he have answers to what's going to happen going forward?
He just didn't. I don't know. I just sold it, dude.
What do you want me to
he
do?
He absolutely did not. And then there were questions that... Of course, we're much more general. It was like, I think he thought he was in a one-on-one.
That's kind of what happened with the other one.
Is this him or no?
Let's see.
It's got to be, right?
Wait, no, that can't be. How old is that dude?
I don't know.
I mean, how many? Well, that's a fairly common name, though.
That would be, I don't think so. Maybe if he'd been doing a lot of dieting... I mean, he's definitely svelte.
Wait, you said it was 93?
Mm-hmm.
No, that guy would be way younger.
Yeah, that guy, yeah. Oh, because he was older than I am.
Yeah.
All right, let's dial up Felix. And I don't even know how you can be the author of Guarding the Juice if no one can get in touch with you.
Felix.
As you know, when he sells a certain amount of books... They sent him on a cruise.
He must be dying without not being able to go on a cruise.
I bet you
Jeffrey Felix has had COVID.
Oh, really?
It's just a guess.
Oh, that's cool. I like that.
Really?
No, I just think it's a fun thing to speculate on for no apparent reason.
But everybody would call.
Felix.
No, he's not going to pick up.
Your call has been forwarded.
Oh, man. Come on. Felix.
7-7.
He acts like he's still guarding the juice.
6 is not available. At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Jeffrey, it's the Drew and Mike show. You're not guarding the juice now. Why can't you pick up the phone? We've been trying to get a hold of you. We made you our Las Vegas and Nevada specific stringer.
So many questions.
Yeah, and we've been missing out on...
Like it or not, it's over.
Oh.
We've been missing out on really important stories out there because we've been unable to reach our correspondent.
Kind of hard to...
Stop friggin' following me.
It's kind of hard to not take this personally.
I mean, I don't know if you're devoting more time to guarding the juice or what exactly is going on, but I thought we had a pretty good relationship.
Really pissed him off.
Some really stellar appearances on the show. We are probably responsible for at least one cruise off of selling Guarding the Juice. So please, Jeffrey, if you see this in the near future, call us right back. If not,
my name's Felix and I'm awesome.
I hope you're not completely booked up till the end of time. It seems like it's very difficult to reach you, Jeffrey.
They call me Juice, the Juice.
All right, call us back, man. See you. See you.
I got a little getting even to do.
Man, I'm just livid about that. Ken Bone's grandmother is more available than Jeffrey Felix? That's total bullshit.
Ken Bone's grandmother's son lives with her.
Wait, how Ken Bone's grandmother must be getting up there.
Probably, yeah, in her 80s. How old is Boner? He was.
I think
30s.
Boner's like 35-ish.
Oh, is he? Man, he looks older than that, doesn't he?
Maybe she was 16 and pregnant.
Could be.
Grandma.
She seemed pretty cool.
That's my grandson!
Hey, did you happen to see that the... boy, there's been a lot of goofy crime around here lately. We had a 12-year-old playing with a loaded gun.
Yes.
Yeah, his father's gun. And I saw the father...
Right around here, right?
Yes. And he...
Could have been you.
Shot someone in the head or was shot in the head.
Was a six-year-old that he... Shot?
I think a 12-year-old boy is dead.
Oh, okay.
And then there was an 11-year-old killed in a hunting accident, and I saw the stepfather was arrested.
Really?
Yeah, for involuntary manslaughter.
Oh, man.
And stepfather said he thought he mistook him for a deer or something.
Oh, boy.
And the mother was unloading the gun, like, in a panic after this happened, and she shot herself in the hand.
What?
Yeah. But I guess she's okay, but she lost her son.
Oh, my Jeez. God.
And it was in Clay Township. I know there's something I'm missing, and I know there must be something to it, but the business of going hunting with, you know, 10, 9, 11, 12, 8-year-olds.
I get it.
I mean, I get it because I can see, I understand the bonding aspect.
Yeah,
but
it's like
I would,
fishing.
I just don't like the idea of getting an 8-year-old interested in guns.
I'm sure
in most cases it's handled with great grace, and
it's not they're not going hunting with Tech Nines or anything like that. I mean, come on, they're going out with hunting rifles. And
when are you taking Maddie hunting?
Yeah, let's get her out there since it's
so
safe.
She wants to go. She's got ample opportunities. I have most of my friends live farther north. They all got property.
Okay. Well, let's get her started around 4 or 5 so she's really responsible by the time she's 7.
You know, most of these hunters that began hunting when they were 4 or 5 years old, you know what? They kind of grew up respecting guns.
No, I understand. That's why I think we need to get Maddie out there immediately.
I mean, how many people do you find that are the kids that get into their father's hunting guns and shoot themselves?
It happens. Rare. Maybe not a hunting gun, but
I'm with you,
people who are finding handguns when someone just throws it underneath their bed.
Yeah,
everybody I know has a gun safe. Yeah. I mean,
well, but some people, this is what sucks, is that it is the Second Amendment is an established, very established, and I would never argue against the Second Amendment. The problem is that it applies to everyone, and everyone is not responsible enough.
But it doesn't.
It doesn't
apply
to
everyone, and there are limits on ages. I mean, there's limits on ages here in Michigan,
and there's also laws that say if you did something, you can't own one. And you know what happens?
Well,
people end up owning one anyway.
But you have to, they end up having one anyway. No, I don't want. I really did not want to get into a gun debate.
No, I know.
I just don't like kids and guns. I just don't like it. And I realize there are probably many, many more stories where successfully has worked out, and it is a respect thing, and all the messages are taken. But you're still dealing with young minds, and some young minds are not so.
I'm not nuts for it, but I think the benefit overall for the whole for people that do it is probably greater than the. I mean, I'm not going to tell this mom that because her son died, but I think the more people benefit from it than have accidents.
And I like venison.
I wish, these stories about guns around the home.
I'm not a fan of that.
I don't really, I don't connect that to hunting in any way, shape, or form. Well,
but you still have
kids interested in guns, and they're laying around.
Yeah.
And, the one kid that supposedly got up in the middle of the night and just went right to where the gun is hidden.
I'm not a fan of that.
The cabinet that wasn't locked.
But to Brandon's point, a lot of those mishaps tend to be handguns that are just laying around and not well taken care of. Well,
and loaded. Loaded. Ready to go. And
sure.
But my point was just that I don't think interest in guns necessarily means you're not interested in a handgun because shoot a rifle with your dad. I mean, look at that fucking Nick Cruz cocksucker.
Yeah.
I mean, that story is so stupid, and I guess I don't understand the laws because...
Well, every state's different
Allowed? He was allowed to own that gun.
What?
He was 17 years old, and he owned a hunting rifle and a...
Yeah. No, but that, once again, that's a lot of...
Maybe he was 18.
It's a lot of bad parenting, and I know it was... He was adopted, right, from what I remember, or kind of...
Yeah, and he was estranged from his adopted mother, and these people took him in, and he kept the gun in a gun case, and it was supposed to be locked up all the time, but he made himself a copy of the key because he'd been threatening people's lives, putting guns to his brother's head and saying, "I'm going to fucking kill you!" And then he goes...
I think that's when you have to get every gun out of the house because your kid's a fucking
nut. Well, they said that this business of threatening people with guns is really bad, so we're going to make you lock the gun in there, and anytime you have it out, we have to know. And so he made a copy of the key for himself so he could get the gun whenever he wanted to.
Yep. Yeah. So, bad parenting.
There you go. And on these stories today, there's a good story. If you want to go to, let's see, let me get this through. Did you see the Ambassador Bridge drifter shoots guy on Instagram?
From way up top?
Yeah, he took pictures from the top of the Ambassador Bridge. That was on, was it Channel 7 maybe last night at
the paper too.
11?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if you want to pop the story on. I think I know who Drifter Shoots is.
Oh, really?
Have you seen him? He's talking on the phone to Channel 7.
I just saw his pictures.
I think it's Lil Steven.
Oh, you outed him.
Yeah, I hate to do that.
Why, does he have a bandana?
Yes.
Sorry, I never remember. You said Channel 7 last night?
Yeah, Channel 7 at 11 last night. I think it's like the third story. But this guy who climbs all these things, including the Ambassador Bridge, and took incredible pictures. And he's a big believer in art, of course. So...
Mainly because he likes to climb tall buildings.
I tend to think that he prefers, that's what really gets him off, is climbing these buildings. And then he just happens to take a few pictures and acts like, see, look at the great art you get out of it.
And this had just happened a few months back with that Luke Heaney guy or whatever. He climbed the Ambassador Bridge to promote his band, got arrested.
Nothing ever happened to him though, right? Didn't they let that dude go? Oh, here he is. It's Lil Steven.
It's Lil Steven.
Wait, isn't he black?
Who knows,
black
though?
Lil Steven?
Way up there.
You can make skin brighter, darker. I mean, there's so much going on with skin.
I was laughing today thinking about Robin McGraw's skin lightening cream.
Brightening.
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 A million words.
It's just reporter. But swear Channel 7 has a new crop of reporters every month.
I know. They do.
All the way up there.
My motto is to the moon and never back.
Yeah!
That makes no sense.
To the moon and never back?
What does that mean?
I guess you just...
I think he thinks it sounds cool. I disagree.
Maybe to the moon and back?
No, and never back.
Yeah, but that's...
Okay. To make it all the way up there.
My motto is to the moon and never back.
His pictures are mesmerizing. Some will even make your stomach
turn.
Out of
focus.
But the pictures are meant as inspiration.
I love my art, and I try to keep it 100% pure and authentic, And I want people to know that it comes from a good place and from a good heart.
Yeah, the pictures are impeccable, but where is security? And how is this man able to make it to the top of the Ambassador Bridge and other buildings without being detected? Is it a cause for concern?
I'll say that the security is excellent, but no, I don't think that anybody has anything to worry about. I think that the security there is excellent.
The Ambassador Bridge is owned by the International Bridge Company. They are responsible for security. We reached out for comment, but haven't heard back. His Instagram account is full of photos from high above the Earth's surface. This one in Chicago, on top of the Vista Tower.
Ooh.
This one over Times Square in New York.
Cool.
And this photo right here in Detroit, high atop the Penobscot building.
Good art makes you feel something. My pictures might terrify some people. They might inspire other people. But as long as they mix up something inside people, I've done my job.
Drifter Shoot says people shouldn't try or do the things he's done.
Yeah, because there's not any competition.
Not a single person out there would I encourage to do what I've done. I want them to understand.
He's not liable if someone else does it.
But I do not want them to recreate the activity themselves.
Drifter Shoot says he understands the danger.
What a stupid story. I'm sorry. What a waste of time, Channel 7. It's not a story.
Really was
they're trying to act like this is a big security problem, but really they just want to show off these cool pictures. That's a terrible story. Sorry. Sorry, not sorry.
And who is the new reporter? Why do they always have new reporters? What is going on over there?
I don't know. I don't know.
The story before that is so fucking annoying to me. That stupid moron, John Skelton, you know, whose kids have been missing.
Oh, he's back?
He was up for parole.
Oh, God.
Which I was like,
tell us what parole, the kids are,
get fuck
out.
Him. He lost three kids. Well, we know he didn't lose three kids, but, you know, he's the guy that... his wife's irresponsible, so I can't return my kids to my wife in this custody arrangement because she'll do something terrible. So the kids are secreted away somewhere safe. And here we are.
Disappeared in 2010.
10 years later.
For wrongful imprisonment when he didn't return the boys to their mother. He is also the prime suspect in their disappearance. Tonight, the family tells us they are very thankful that their prayers were answered, and they're still hopeful that Andrew, Alexander, and Tanner will be found and brought home.
The work of a daredevil.
Why wouldn't he tell us where they are? Because now they would be like, you know, 20 and 18 and 17. So what's the deal? No, what are you so worried about, Skelton? Yeah,
they'll be safe. You would think if he said it, I don't know, because then he'd get charged with murder. Never mind. What's he in for?
You know, he said at the beginning, I forgot what. God, kidnapping or.
Oh.
You know, I remember when this happened, and it's like, oh, these three kids are missing. Well, where can they be?
Yeah.
It's like, my ex-wife is too irresponsible to have the kids, so I couldn't possibly take them back to her sorry ass, so I have them somewhere safe. And it was like, bullshit.
Well, where?
No one.
Where? Just let us know where they're at, then, if they're safe.
No one can be trusted. Only he knows. So he pulled that act for a while, and they got him on whatever they got him on there. But, you know, he was out with those kids missing for a significant amount of time. I don't remember exactly. I'd love to find. I'm going to have to look that up because it's intriguing to me because I just witnessed this Lori Vallow and Chad. What's her stupid husband?
Daybell.
Chad Daybell. Just having a great time in Hawaii, enjoying the beach and the sun and the beautiful weather. And the blue waters for months while she could not tell anyone where her kids were. I feel like we need a law like the losing children law. Like you can't lose your children. As long as your children are lost, then you have no freedom.
It's pretty basic law.
I mean, isn't it necessary? These kids were like 9, 7, and 6, and Lori Vallow's kids were 7 and 17. Oh, I don't know where they are. It's crazy. Bullshit. No, you did something to your kids, or you've done something wrong to them, and therefore, you're hiding them from someone, therefore, you lose your freedom until you tell us where the fuck they are, you idiot.
Why isn't Bill Gates working on a microchip for children so we don't lose them since they're getting lost all the time, instead of microchipping the whole world? Just start small.
You know, I feel really strange because every time, you know, when they're talking about the vaccine with the microchip,
yeah,
I'm not taking a vaccine that'll prevent coronavirus forever. Because I don't want his microchip. And I always feel like, I'll take his microchip. I don't care. If he wants to know, if he wants to follow me around the microchip, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, until he until you're part of the 20% that he culls off the earth. What a great, what a long con. What a great plan. Make a ton of money so I can kill 20% of the earth.
Yeah. Well, he's one of these people that insists on spending virtually all of his money while he's alive. Yeah. And Brandon sent us that thing on the guy the other day who...
He outlived his money.
He's a billionaire, and he set aside $2 million for retirement, and he gave away billions of dollars. No, he's not out of money, is he, really?
Broke.
Doesn't he have a little...
It's penniless.
So he had $8 million that he amassed during his life. Like, I forget his name. He's some old dude, really famous.
It was dollars, wasn't it?
$8 billion, yes. Yeah. He did set aside $2 million for he and his wife, like you said, for his retirement. And right. Throughout the years, he has gotten rid of $7.992 billion, and which is funny because, you know, you got to assume that anybody who heads a charity, every time they get a phone call from this guy, they're probably like, hey, by the way, this guy's back on the line, how much is that one charity? It'll probably take about $1 million. Okay, ask for 15. You know, I'm telling you, they probably ripped this guy off so much coin. You know, who knows that all that money actually went to the right charity.
Breaking news. Someone's on the phone.
Oh, could it be? Could it be?
Hello?
Yeah, this is Jeff calling back. How you guys doing?
Wait, is this Jeffrey Felix of Guardian the Juice fame?
Yes. How are you guys doing? We on the air?
Yeah, we're on the air. Man, Jeffrey, why did you change your phone number?
I had to change it because AT&T gave me a deal that if I change my phone number, I got like $200 off my phone or something crazy.
Jeffrey, author of Guarding the Juice. What if people need to get a hold of you? They need to order a bunch more because they know you're close to getting a cruise, and they can't find you. I mean, isn't that how you measure the success of the book? Is how many cruises you get?
I can't answer that question, but I can say this: your Detroit Lions got robbed last weekend.
Wow.
Wait, well, I don't know why he
by themselves.
Why is it that he can't answer that question? Is there some legal complexity there?
I'm skirting it.
Jeffrey, somebody does have your old number, and they've been answering tons and tons and tons of phone calls for you. Seriously.
Have they really?
Yeah, you might want to give them a call.
Yeah, they've been saying that they've been inundated with just all these press releases, just all this different stuff. Plus, we called a bunch of times.
Yeah, and probably orders for the book that you're missing out on.
Yeah. Hey, offers for free cruises that you're missing out on.
I just cannot believe that Jeffrey changed his phone number to save $200, and yet all these people can't get in touch with him. He's known as the man in terms of guarding the juice. Jeffrey, I mean, isn't that a big deal to change your phone number? Didn't you have to call a bunch of people and say, I got a new phone number?
Pretty much. Yeah, I called the people I wanted, and then I got to show the people I didn't want.
Oh, ouch. It is personal.
But how many people are trying to get a hold of you and going, oh, my God, I can't believe you changed his number? I mean, that's got to be people, like friends from the way past, right?
Yeah, but they could always get me through Facebook like you guys did.
Not everybody's that resourceful, Jeffrey.
Guys are pretty resourceful.
So anyway, we were just speculating on O.J. Simpson and if he were to be asked to be on Dancing with the Stars, and we started talking about how, you know, during the trial, you know, he had acted like it was so hard to pick up his son. They had that clip of him I think it was the recital, and he picked his son up and look how hard he's straining. He can barely pick up his son, who weighed like 50 pounds. Mm-hmm. And so we were kind of wondering, is he as disabled as he made it appear during the trial? Or in your time guarding the juice, did you notice him doing anything athletic?
He was the umpire for softball, but hey, he has really bad arthritis, guy. Really bad arthritis.
Did that make it easier to guard the juice?
Well, yeah, you can't run away. You can't break out of a prison.
I understand.
So he wouldn't be able to dance at all then?
More than likely not. More than likely. How come they didn't ask me to be on Dancing with the Stars?
Because they didn't catch your phone number.
Get hold of you.
I cannot believe that your world, you, Jeffrey Felix, of Guarding the Juice fame, that your world is so small that you think you can just call a few people and it's no big deal to change your phone number.
So they really said my phone was blowing up again?
Yes.
You might want to call your old phone number, because that's what they told us.
Yeah, I think there might have been an emergency like 3 months ago that they wanted to tell you about, but it was 3 months ago, so it's probably over now.
And treat them like a secretary and just give them your forwarding number.
They were taking messages for you.
Yeah, they got a pile of those pink message slips for you. They want you to pick them up. How have you been managing during coronavirus times? You haven't gotten COVID, have you?
No, of course not. I'm like steel over here. I can't catch anything. Come on, man.
Wait,
I'm a Vegas boy.
Oh, they don't have COVID in Vegas?
Vegas is a great way to catch COVID.
I don't think there was that many cases. They had it for a minute. I think it slowed down a little bit. Because you have to wear a mask and everything in the casinos.
Oh, have you been in the casinos much?
I was in the casino maybe 3 months ago, 4 months, 3 or 4 months ago out there.
What were you playing?
There's no games. There's no blackjack. You only can play just a video poker at that time.
Boring.
No, there was no tables going.
Wow, were there people there?
It was maybe 20% of normal.
Oh, my God, that kind of sucks, doesn't it?
It wasn't very fun.
Wow.
Now, are they going to allow fans at the Raiders game, the home opener this weekend? Do you know?
I heard that four teams had 25%. I don't know if Raiders are one of them.
Because they got that beautiful new stadium. It'd be a shame if no people were in it.
That's true. Hey, can I say one thing on the air? One thing that's very important?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, how about them Cowboys, huh? How about them Cowboys?
Nice game. Nice offensive pass interference.
I didn't know you were a Cowboy hater.
I hate that. Hey, my favorite team is whoever plays the Cowboys every week.
Wow.
Really? Well, who is your who's your favorite team when the Cowboys are set aside?
I probably have to go with, I really don't like to say it, but the Miami Dolphins. Ew. They're horrible.
What about the Buffalo Bills back in the juice days?
Yeah, all that time guarding the juice, I would think you'd be kind of a Bills fan.
Let me tell you something. OJ hated playing for the Bills.
Are you serious?
Yep, he told me he hated playing for it because he had to fly to L.A. to do all of his TV stuff. It was freezing. He hates the cold. He hates the wind. He hates the rain. He hates the snow.
Yeah, he did grow up in the San Francisco area. So
That's why. When he got done in Buffalo, that's why he went to the 49ers after that.
So, Mark, didn't we have some other Vegas-related things to ask Jeffrey about?
No, we were just trying to think of some things, like the wildfires. Drew thinks that it's affecting Nevada.
Yeah, the Sierra Nevada is always at risk.
Yeah, I'm in Reno right now, and it's very smoky out here.
Now, are you concerned more about climate change or forestry management?
Well, the People's Republic of California needs to do something with their resources. Newsom needs to pull his head out of his butt and do something in there.
You're in Reno. Were you there for the Trump rally? Was that a couple days ago, 3 days ago?
Oh, in Gardnerville. No, I didn't go to that. But, yeah, what's going on here?
Can you provide any additional information other than that it was going on?
I don't know what happened. I heard there was like 28,000 people there.
28,000? I didn't know it was that big. It just seems
I
like there was
20, the newspaper said 28,000.
Wasn't that? Was there an event in Vegas or like OJ or something that happened? That
The juice has been out at the clubs. We saw that he's been out
hitting
partying
on blondes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which club was he at? Which club was it?
Let me see if I can look it up again. He's been to a few clubs.
He sure does like the blondes, Jeffrey.
He likes blondes, and he likes bar managers. That's what he did.
Really?
Restaurant managers. Blondes in their 40s.
Hmm.
Why? Do you think you can get free food or free booze?
Hey, maybe not anymore. Who gives a double murder or free food, right?
Lots of people. People love OJ when he goes out.
He seemed to forgive Nicole Brown Simpson for being in her 20s. Actually, she was 19, I think, when he met her.
And it looks like he was in the Jing Lounge in Summerlin, for what that's worth.
The Jing Lounge?
Okay.
Do you have some recon on this Jing Lounge?
Well, we know he's not going to the Cosmo, to the Chandelier Bar, correct?
Yeah, because they kicked. Isn't that where they
kicked
him out? Kicked
out for life.
Yeah, he's kicked out for life there.
Do you know where he's typically? Because he always seems to be at like one restaurant for all his fantasy football drafts and stuff. Do you know where that's at?
No, but I could probably find out. It's got to be somewhere in Summerlin.
Why? I mean, I don't know anything about Summerlin. Is that where he's staying?
It's probably his golf course.
Yeah, he's staying
right off. Right, Brandon.
Jeffrey, did he talk about, was he able to get any and I realize this could be breaking some sort of pact, I guess some sort of guarding the juice confidentiality, but when you were guarding the juice, did the juice get any action with babes the entire time you were guarding the juice?
Not that I know of. Negative.
Really? Would you say it's possible, though, that he could have swung it somehow behind your back?
Oh, absolutely. I don't know what's going on around me. Come on, guys. He could have got away with anything behind my back.
I mean, do they ever sneak whores in there?
Juice.
No. Hold on now.
No whores?
They did do that at a prison in Vegas back in, I think, 2001 or 2002 when they got caught.
Oh, boy. Okay. So did he talk about women a lot?
Oh, yeah. That's all he ever talked about.
Really?
Women and golf.
And what about women? Just that he wants to nail them all? Or, I mean, does he have anything specific he was looking for?
Hey, just remember with OJ, it's not about quality. It's about quantity.
Really?
Yes.
Because he was he was married twice, and he, you know, he was always seemed to be in a relationship, but he really likes banging some strange.
Yes. He's like the, what do they call that guy from, what's that show called, Babe? That show I like.
Babe, what? When there's a woman there?
Oh, my girlfriend's sitting right next to me.
What? You're bearing the lead, Jeffrey. Who is this girl?
Oh, the girl sitting next to me?
Yeah, your girlfriend.
Her name is Laylee. She's the love of my life.
How long have you been with her?
She sounds hot.
Hey, I have to say that. She's right next to me.
Have you been with her for long?
How long, like 5 months?
Five months?
Wow, you met during COVID?
Yes. Hey, when we met during COVID, our date consisted of her bringing me dinner to Park, us meeting at Park, going to lunch at Park. Am I right, babe?
Banging in Parks?
Yeah, we with no banging at the Park. Oh. No, none of that.
Now, how did you get
in, out, three times?
I'm not understanding how it is that you met her and got this thing started in the first place. I mean, how did you get to know her at all?
Well, I met her online and we started dating.
What?
Yes.
Wait, a renowned author of Guarding the Juice, Jeffrey Felix, meets babes online?
Yes.
Now, in your profile, did it say you were the author of Guarding the Juice?
No, I kept that a secret from her.
Yes.
Really?
She didn't even know about it until you guys had said something about it, that she gave me kind of a look. Like, what's that all about?
Uh-oh. Let the cat out of the bag.
Well, she, all right, I'm in control of this relationship.
Oh, yeah, right.
And what's the chronological difference in years between you and her?
I think I'm 9 years older than her.
You think? Nice.
High five.
Yeah, 9 years. 9 years.
Nice job.
Of course.
What's the limit as far as how younger will you go? How far younger?
I would probably go maybe 12 years at the most.
12 at the most. What's the problem after 12 years?
They're still in that stupid stage at 12 years.
Okay. Now I need to know, how old are you so I can figure out how old stupid 12 years younger than you is?
I'm 56, so 12 years would be 44. She's 47.
Wait, 43-year-olds are still stupid?
Yeah, they're like pre-menopause. They're...
You go for those post-menopausal chick.
Yeah, and she hasn't gone through menopause yet, which is kind of, you know, I still have to deal with that time of the month, you know, every month.
I'm sure she appreciates
it. Oh, man. It's terrible.
Chicks
suck, man. So what is your experience with menopause? Because you sound like you're really not a fan.
This is a lot of info to process.
Well, my ex-wife went through menopause, and it was horrible.
Really? What happened?
She just got more mean than before, always cranky. She didn't really enjoy sex very much anymore. It was just all bad.
That's not the menopause, I don't think.
Yeah, it could have been me, too. It could have been me, also.
Yeah, because I think there was something in Guarding the Juice about what a prolific sex life you've had. You like having it all the time?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty active. I'm pretty active sexually, so I have to kind of be with a younger girl to have that.
I see.
You're not a swinger, are you?
No. Oh, okay. One girl, that's it. Yes, that's it. That's all I can. Come on, guys. I'm not O.J. Simpson. I can't handle two or three girls at one time.
What about on these cruises? Did you meet a lot of chicks on the cruises? Because I know you said, you know the book's doing well when you can afford a cruise.
Yeah, when I went on the cruise, when I went on the Panama Canal cruise with my youngest son, there was a lot of action on that cruise, I have to admit. Nice.
Really? Yeah. So how old was your son at the time?
Just turned 18.
Wow.
Who was nailing more chicks, you or him?
On the way down there, I was ahead. Yeah, on the way down there, I was beating him, but on the way back, he took the lead. He came in, he sort of beat me in the fourth quarter. He started coming around. Hey, he figured out some good lines to use on the girls on the cruise that I taught him, and I didn't think he was going to use them, but he started using them.
He's got that youthful stamina, too.
Yeah. He could do it, you know, he could do it each day. You know, I need a 24-hour, you know, rebuild.
Refractory.
Are you telling me that you had a father and son talk about refractory periods?
Pretty much.
Now, what's his age limit older? I mean, you guys didn't have to fight for the same women, did you?
No, he was looking for something 30 or younger.
Okay.
I was looking for something 45 or older.
I can't believe your son was piling into that many chicks on a cruise. That's wild. Were you high-fiving him, or were you kind of embarrassed?
No, I'm the one that taught him the lines to use on him.
Really? Would he come in the morning and be like, "Yeah, Dad, it was really cool. You know, we were just kind of messing around, and then I pulled the nude move on her, and she went for it, and we had sex for like 45 minutes, and we both had oral, and then I blew up, and then we got up to get this morning. I mean, would he give
you
like
it on your T-shirt that was on the ground?
Oh my goodness! No, he would. I would. If he had the room that night, then the pressure would be on me to find a girl to go back to her place.
Yeah. How many times did you have a girl and you're heading back to the room and there's like a green sock on the doorknob? Is that for the signal to say that he's with somebody?
Well, the signal was the do not disturb sign would be on the door.
How often did that happen?
That happened every other night.
What? Man.
He's a savage. That kid's a beast.
No wonder cruise ships are so skanky. Like,
but you were in the lead on the way there until your refractory period got in the way.
Well, yeah, because I had the lead after the first night because... All right. Hopefully. Because I might have had like a threesome. I might have had like a threesome or something.
What? A threesome?
What? You just said one woman. What? That's all you said. You said one woman.
Yeah, what's up with that?
You had a three-way? What was the other guy's name?
That's not going to happen. Hey, we're not going to be sword fighting. It was two girls and me. No sword fighting.
Did you pass that along to your son that no three-ways with another dude?
He knows the rules. No dudes in my cabin.
But did
period.
He say,
I don't care.
Did he say international waters, though, Dad? Anything goes.
No. No, he didn't. He did. Hey, the rules are the rules.
Man, I like the way
he... Did he lay down the rules like this?
We got to lay down some ground rules. When we wind up working the same broad, no eye contact between the two of us.
Wait, what?
And they're going to encourage us to explore each other's bodies.
What?
And that's a hard no for me.
Oh, my goodness.
I love all this father and son talk. I think it's great that they've discussed everything, including refractory periods.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm talking about money shots and stuff like that. That's pretty wild. I mean, most men don't get that close.
My two boys and I are really tight. We talk about everything.
So what has he taught you being younger? Like, well, Dad, this is what the kids today are doing. We're all shaving down there or whatever.
Yeah, you notice that? Because, you know, all these girls are all shaved down there. I kind of like a little landing strip down there.
No, I mean, but what has he told you that, you know, the young people are into that you didn't know? Like, has he taught you anything?
Let me think now. No, I think I taught him more than he taught
me.
Really?
Okay. Well, did you demonstrate how to shave your pubes to him?
No, but I did tell him to, like, when he's with a girl, he needs to touch all over to see what affects her, see if he can pull the hair.
Bush.
See what turns around and go from there.
Well,
did
you talk to him about oral sex and your technique?
Well, I have a really good technique. Girls
what?
Say that for real, guys. And if my girlfriend wasn't in people right now, look at the plan. He would tell you that I have the technique.
Really? Now, do you think it's something in the DNA? I mean, have you guys discussed this particular act and what makes it work and the Felix touch?
Or is it in the facial hair?
No, this is what happened. I got to make sure she's not walking up here. Okay.
Got a Fu Manchu, right?
Right after I got divorced, I met a girl named Patty, and I went down there, and she pulled me up and said, no, no, no.
Oh, man. You got the tap?
Yeah. Come on, Patty.
And then she taught me what to do.
Really?
Yes. Come on, and I've been using that ever since.
Now, what was the key? What was Patty's, what was her main request?
Ooh, Patty's so moist.
Patty liked to be starfished. You know what that means?
Starfished?
Yeah.
Starfish is usually a reference to the back.
There you go. Ring the dinner bell.
Wait, so you rimmed her?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So
they love that.
The Jeffrey Felix trick is to rim somebody.
And then you use your tongue for the alphabet.
Yeah, that's old hat.
That's an old hat.
Everyone knows that.
At the end, though, you do the swirl. He's like that's Seinfeld's move.
End it with a twirl.
I've ate her ass like 10 times.
This is obviously.
When is the next book coming out about this Felix sex tips? Or
it's got to be the next book.
Yeah,
could be a regular feature.
Giving the juice.
What about it?
Jeffrey Felix sex tips.
What about a syndicated feature? Jeffrey Felix's money shots. You know, sexual tips for the active young man.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
What?
No porn.
It doesn't have to be pornographic. It could just be like the kind of fatherly advice you gave your son about eating pussy.
Yeah, I told him what to do, and when he came back, when I saw him on deck that morning, he gave me a high five. He looked at me and he goes, "You are the man."
Did you give him some Listerine?
I just passed down what I know.
So was it awkward when you taught him how to masturbate?
I don't think he's done that.
Really? Because he would have told you.
So I could smell his finger.
Because he would have told you, obviously. What? Of course.
You guys are that close. You never know. We're pretty open.
But your other son, you had to show him, right?
Actually, he thinks he knows everything, so he doesn't really listen to my advice.
All right. Oh, man. Who has caught the other one masturbating more, you or your sons?
I've never been caught.
What? What's your secret to never being caught?
Again this weekend, right?
Are you going to share that with them?
Jeffrey Felix, stealth masturbator.
Hey, I just locked the door if that ever comes up.
Oh, well.
You can't get caught with a locked door.
Well,
right?
Where's the fun in that? Where's the danger?
Yeah, come on. That's got to be in your sex tip somewhere. The mystery, danger.
Hey, seriously, Jeffrey, if you write a book about your sex tips, I might help you self-publish it, whatever that means.
Well, I have a publisher. I had Thomas Mack publish it.
Well, get on him. Pitch this book to him.
Wait, have they talked about a second book?
He's been, I don't know, we kind of talked about it for a minute, and then I've been kind of busy, so I really didn't, you know, and I really don't get along with my writer very well.
Oh, your writer?
Writer.
Yeah.
I thought you wrote the book.
No, I went to UNLV. I'm not writing a book. I authored the book. I had a ghostwriter.
No, what percentage does the ghostwriter take? How many cruises does the ghostwriter get to go on?
He didn't go on any cruises, but he bought a house in San Diego.
Wow.
Really? And you'd rather go on two cruises and buy a house?
I already have a house, so.
There's a value attached. I mean, it seems like if they said, okay, look, here's how it's going to work, Jeffrey. You've already have a house, so we're gonna give you two cruises, and we're gonna give the ghostwriter a house because he doesn't have a house. That seems like a ripoff.
Well, I can't do another book with that writer. Okay. I'd have to find a new writer.
That house cruises deal was terrible anyway. So
did you teach him how to eat pussy, and now he's giving your secrets to everybody?
Not my writer. I didn't. I don't even know if my writer. My writer is married, but I really don't know if he's straight.
Oh.
I'm not too sure. Mm. Nothing wrong with that, though. But I don't really know. Well, it's none of my business. Good. But
I think you could write a great book on the like Felix family sexual, you know, adventures on the road, something like that, like a follow up to Jack Kerouac's On the Road.
Yeah,
but Felix family sex tips, and just how you guys share all this stuff and how beautiful it is.
You got to get a new ghostwriter. Write this book.
Well, you got to share that with your son, right?
Absolutely. No, what kind of sorry-ass father would not teach his son how to, you know, perform oral sex and make a woman happy? That would be, I mean, I don't think that exists. Or the proper pumping technique or whatever.
Did you teach him about positions?
No, like, just what guys?
You know, the best positions or what? What's the Felix family? What's the preferred Felix family position?
Let me think now. I like to take him in the bathroom and bend him over the sink.
Really?
Oh, because you want to watch yourself pump.
You can get a doggy style. Yes. And get on your side. Those are your only choices.
I mean, that's
have your sons shared that is what they prefer too?
No, they have not.
They have not.
I never told them about sexual position.
What?
Did you tell them that you did it in their bathroom?
No, I never did it in their bathroom.
Okay, good.
I usually go to my girlfriend's house and do it.
Okay, I don't know.
No, I don't know. Some people were saying that maybe you drew the line at talking about your sex life with their mother, but you guys are pretty open. You probably have talked about it.
With their mom, we had. My wife and I didn't talk. We didn't talk very often. We didn't get along that well.
Right. But as far as sharing your sex life with your wife, you have done that with your kids because that's their business. Right?
Well, they knew if the door was shut and locked and the TV was turned way up, something was going down in there.
Wow. And mom screaming, too. Yeah. They knew not to call the cops.
Yeah. You and your stupid mother.
And her head was smashing against the headboard, of course. Right?
Did you high five the kids afterwards sometimes? Just go out in the hallway for a quick
high five? No, I just go to sleep afterwards.
Oh, I pictured you coming out in a robe that's loosely tied.
like a Rocky Balboa robe or something like that.
Like awkwardly trying to light a cigarette to go outside.
Oh, my God.
That's the image I have.
Where was your mother?
We need the backstory. We need the backstory to guarding the juice. I think.
I bet you bonded. So?
Jeffrey Felix.
You bonded with juice over chicks easily, right?
Easily, yeah. Easily.
Did he share techniques with you, or did you just share them with him?
I'm more of a listener with him because he's got. I mean, whose stories would you rather hear? My stories or his stories?
No, fair.
I don't know. You're pretty good at sharing.
When you said, Juice, tell me about your technique. He's like, well, I have to get the biggest knife and go behind him and slice it this way.
Was OJ open to starfishing women?
Yeah. Would he be grossed out at rim jobs, OJ?
I don't know. I never asked him about that, but I love starfishing. I'm a star. Where do they at the bar I hang out at? The guys call me the Starfisher King, the Starfisher King, or whatever.
Oh my God!
What's the name of the bar?
The Flowing Tide.
The Flowing
Sparks in Nevada, Reno.
The Flowing Five. What's the Flowing Five mean?
The Flowing Tide, like the tide coming in the ocean.
Oh, okay.
Yes, and there's like 12 of us that hang out there, and we call ourselves the Starfishermen. That's what we call ourselves.
Oh, okay.
We'll have to call on to see if any of the starfishermen are there.
Yeah.
All right, Jeffrey, listen, we got to run. I'd love to get more intimate, but we're just running out of time here.
I don't know if you can get more intimate.
Yeah, I guess not.
Hey, I love you guys. You guys got my number. I love Detroit. I'll talk to you guys later.
Great talking to you. Okay, Jeffrey Felix. Oh, my God, the starfisherman. Oh, my God.
He's the best.
I can't believe what I just heard.
That last half hour was insane.
I mean, how would you like to be his son and be instructed how to masturbate?
Well, no, you didn't instruct him on a woman. Well, that part, but it worked.
He just taught his son how to eat a butthole.
But it worked. His son's happy about it, right?
I don't think there's a lot of fathers that teach their kid that. I'm just saying. I would venture to say of all the people who've ever been on this show, he's possibly the only one who has ever taught his kids that.
I've hit her ass like 10 times.
look how close he is with his two boys. So,
well, okay.
Good for him.
I guess we might as well skedaddle out of here. We're not going to top that.
We learned more than we thought we would with him.
I never got to the standoffs because there's a second one now. But, oh, my God. Oh, so many. It's funny how many stories I feel like I read that all tie into this main sort of subject matter. Because Michelle Obama, this was a big deal today. I couldn't believe this was such a huge story. Of course, she has her podcast now.
Oh, yeah.
So because she's Michelle Obama, we're going to hear all about her podcast. I'm going to check the ranking after the show. I bet it's way up there. Mm-hmm. I bet it's like top 20. And probably completely phoned in. Anyway, she was talking about her childhood, and she said that, she, among other things, she said that being black is a crime in and of itself, and that she, I think she had her brother and her mother on to talk about her brother who was accused of stealing his own bicycle by the police.
Okay.
And which was kind of, I wasn't sure, you know, what is this story exactly? And it turned out that the police were told by a friend of his that he stole their bike. So when they found him, they were being accusatory. And I guess his mother or their mother felt that that he should have dropped it sooner before he brought the bicycle to have his mother verify that it was his or whatever. But anyway, the point being that being black is a crime in and of itself. And she said everyone she knows who is black has been accused of something while minding their own business. And, oh, and, you know, going back to the bicycle, though, she said that both the cops were black, but that the racism is so systemic that black people in the police department are as racist as everyone else. So it was like, oh, God, another long headline about racist, terrible police. And she, is there some reason you guys didn't hit the outro?
Oh, no, I thought, sorry.
Yeah, no, I know, it's kind of a weird way to go out. She had another story about, I thought this was kind of stupid, really, especially the end. She's just talking about how white people don't see black people, that it's like they're invisible. And she said when Obama was president, a white woman cut in front of her in line to get ice cream, and she was with Secret Service and everything. But she said they were all, I think she said they were all black, so the woman didn't see her because she was invisible. Mm. And the part that really got me was she confronted the woman.
Really?
And said, hey, what are you doing cutting in front of me? Which I thought, it just seems like you'd let that go.
But shouldn't she have the Secret Service do that? Why did the Secret Service let someone cut in front of her?
The whole thing was like, thinking, yeah. Oh my God. As in the Daily Mail today, and I'm sure it's probably all over because it's her podcast. We're going to hear all about that. And then the
I think case. She's starting a pod fade because two episodes, her guest was her brother.
Oh, boy. The standoff.
Speaking of brother.
With the triple murderer ended when he killed himself. Both hostages escaped. He's a better murderer than a hostage holder because both of them escaped, I guess, when he fell asleep.
Yeah, he got tired.
Separately, but, though.
He did talk to Charlie Langdon this morning.
Oh, he did? I didn't know that.
I heard Langdon's report on WWJ.
He's I can't wait to see
that. I talked to him a little earlier. He was still alive at this point.
Well.
Charlie, I couldn't defuse the situation.
I guess not. There's a new standoff now in Superior Township where neighbors were shooting each other. Cops arrived. They shot and hit a deputy. I guess he's okay right now. Hopefully, he'll be all right. We'll see you tomorrow.
In the most bizarre year of our lifetime, Metro Detroiters were saying, at least we have the Lions. 2020 has been a strange year for Michiganders. Our Safe Dream Cruise became a political rally, and meaningful protests took place at the Golden Butthole. Both the Red Wings and Pistons seasons were canceled, and nobody knows when the hell we will see college football. And so for the first time ever, the hope of the entire state is the Detroit Lions. Our mediocre quarterback is healthy, and we landed a washed-up star running back. In any other year, it would be the same old Lions. But this is 2020. Our fans are made of cardboard, and the noise coming from Ford Field is played by a DJ. These crazy and unpredictable times had people really believing Stafford could win league MVP, and the Lions could make it to the Super Bowl. But these are the same old Lions. They still suck and find new ways to lose. So in a time when nobody knows what the hell tomorrow has in store, we know that on Sunday, the Lions will still shit the bed. And that normalcy is exactly what Michiganders have desperately needed. 2020 and the same old fucking Lions. It's pure Michigan.